Solutions, and you type in BLM investigations, or you go to the BLM.
Jojo Bubba right coming in the house.
All the results.
I just want to take this time out to tell you fellas about the radio show that I listen to. It's Culture Freedom Radio Network. When I like to get some knowledge from some colors, I mean some Negroes, I mean some Afro-Americans, I tune in right here to Culture Freedom Radio. Yes, I'm an old country white guy, but I loves me some Culture Freedom.
Recording started.
Man, if they don't keep it raw and uncut and off the chain, I tells you, oh boy. Hey, y'all better keep it locked right here with JoJo Bubba, man, because this is my show. This is the station I listen to for raw and uncut Contest Talk Radio, Culture Freedom, man, in the house. Yeah, because I got friends in low places.
And everything is going wrong, oh no. Nobody knows the way you feel about it, 'cause only you know. You can't leave it alone. Ah, here we go again.
Again, right here with Culture Freedom Radio Network. Most definitely up in this house right here. Oh, yes, and here we go again, up in this house right here, coming to do our thing, coming to do our thing. Oh, most definitely right here. Yeah, Truth Talk Friday Radio Show, y'all. Truth Talk Friday Radio Show, y'all, man. Y'all know how that song go. What they say, y'all? It's Friday night. Yeah, party hunters, it's time to get it right. Yeah, I know y'all said Sunray, goddamn, what you talking? Quit singing. Chief Rabbi David Israel don't rub off on you. Yes, he has, man. Hey, that's what it is, man. It's Friday, man. I ain't got to go to work, Craig. I ain't got to go to work this weekend. Yeah, man. My little amigos say, the amigos, my little Mexican friends would say, man, it's party time, party time. Well, no pardon for me, y'all, but, you know, that's what they say. Let's get serious right here. First of all, I'd like to say, man, peace and greetings to all of you out there. Get all of everybody proper salutations and salutations. First, let me say to the Hebrew community, the Israelite community, man, I say Shabbat Shalom to you. Shabbat Shalom coming up right here, Shabbat Eve. And right here, I say whole tip to all my Kemetic brothers and sisters and my Moorish and Islamic brothers and sisters. I say Assalamu Alaikum in Islam to you. And hell, who else? To my brothers and sisters and everybody else, I say what's up, like Martin say, what's up? I can't do it like Mar, y'all. Goddamn, it hurt. Yeah, well, what's up? We're up in here right here on Culture Freedom Radio Network, most definitely up in this house right here. Again, we are actually broadcasting in two places. We're simulcasting. Yes, I'm broadcasting right here live on blogtalkradio.com. And also, I got the webcam up, broadcasting right here on talkshoe.com. I got the cam up for those later on who will be catching it right there on talkshoe.com as well. Hey, just got a couple of things I want to throw out on the table. As usual, no topic of conversation, just coming in the house, just to talk to you tonight right here. Once again, I got to thank my brothers for always tuning in with me right here, sharing in the show. Brother LJ in the house and my good brother Justice in the house, and most definitely. And I want to say, say a big thanks to my good brother Justice last week for man standing in, and I had a little emergency, man, to I had to take care of. So I appreciate my brother Justice for taking over. He didn't know he was gonna have to host the rest of the show, but he did, and I appreciate my brother right there. I see, hey man, see, you never know what happened when y'all call in right here on to the show. And I get y'all that number as well. Y'all can call into the show. If you just listen to me, you can call in. If you feel you want to, something you got to share, just comment on some things as well. Yes, and I just tell y'all what a little bit of what happened last week. Y'all know I was talking about dogs and stuff, right? For a matter of fact, I'm see how I can subway into this show. Didn't have no particular way I was going to come in, but I guess this is the way to come in. You know, I was talking about, you know, the dogs and stuff. Y'all know the whole rigmarole. I was telling you about what happened. I had, you know, the puppies staying over here and all of this, trying to raise it. Well, I regret to say my big dog last week, as I was actually in here hosting, my wife had the big dog and the puppies, let them go outside to actually use the restroom or whatnot. I guess that's a little bit too much information. But as when they was out there, my big dog had a little toy she liked to play with. And I guess we can talk about some jealousy, too, I guess, to show you some things. Characteristics, again. I know y'all said, damn tired of you talking about these damn dogs. Well, I'm going to show you. We're going to get into something, though. But anyway, as one of the puppies went over there, because the big dog, she, I guess she'd been jealous of these little puppies. You know, kind of like, you know, they had the dogs in territory and stuff, too. But she actually, one of the puppies went over there and she attacked one of the puppies. And so my wife then came in and was, you know, hollering and screaming and stuff to come get me. And they were saying, oh, she broke her neck. She broke the puppy neck. And, you know, it wasn't, her neck was broke. She bit her in the head and bit one of the pups in her head. And, you know, man, she was, it was bad. So I had to rush her out to the animal vet, and they just said she was in real critical condition and, you know, she wasn't going to make it. So I lost one of the pups, and, you know, it kind of hurt, 'cause like I said, I wanted to give that, you know, the dog, you know, I guess a good life, a nice life, you know, as an animal pup. And I can tell y'all, man, I just value, just look at life, valuing life, you know. That's how I just look at it. So, and when I looked at this again, I thought about something too with that. You know, some people that they'll even tell you we have, as humans, they say we have an animal nature. Some people say we have animal nature, and you even look at certain things, even with the animals, the characteristics, and going back to Kemet again. You see how certain things you see on the walls and things, right? You might see a picture of a picture or a statue of a, like a male figure or a female figure, but the body will be like, you know, the rest of the body from the neck down might be a human figure, what we call human figure, but the head might be the head of a falcon. The Bennu bird, and, you know, just other kind of animals, the lion and different, you know, animals. And, you know, so it's like to go and to show the different characteristic, like Haru says, you know, you have the characteristics and whatnot as a falcon. And there's certain reason they took on those characteristics that fit the falcon and other, you know, animals. But anyway, y'all know if y'all heard, I know y'all heard to say we have an animalistic nature ourselves. So even when I think about this, what even happened, you know, we exhibit a lot of jealousy ourselves, you know, with things that we possess, and other people get jealous of things that you possess and they want what you have. And sometimes we will fight and beef with stuff that we have. But even animals, like I said, in that she had a little dog toy, and the dog, other little puppy, wanted to just go over there and play with it too, and she jumped on the, you know, pup, you know. But I even looked at that. They say most adult dogs will basically jump on a puppy. I don't know why. Beat up a puppy or fight a puppy, be aggressive to a puppy before they will be that way to a adult dog. I don't know why, y'all. I'm not a specialist in dogology or nothing. But just to go, you know, it's like just even fit for the characters. They show jealousy. They show the territorial, certain things like, you know, and certain things we exhibit some of those same characteristics as humans. I know y'all was like, yeah, damn, there you go with that. But you, that's what I just looked at, man. I just look, we exhibit. And I was kind of I was mad as hell that I was like mad as a mother sucker because of what she did, you know, but. You know what could I do? I didn't whoop her or nothing like that, y'all. You know, I saw people like they beat the hell out of their dogs. No, I didn't do that. I was just hurt that she, you know, killed that little puppy. You know, I was like, why you do that? You took that puppy's life. That puppy didn't deserve that, and you know, you just want to play with you. And I just went that way with it. But I'm gonna jump off that. But that's what happened last week. So I like to say, once again, I appreciate Brother Justice for stepping in. Cause like I said, I just had to run out and see what was happening. And then from there, I just had to run out and try to take her to the vet, maybe to save her life, but it didn't happen. It didn't happen. And no, man, I'm gonna tell y'all something, man, these damn vet bills, damn, you, it's high than goddamn, you damn near need, I don't know what. You damn need some Obamacare, Bin Laden care, not Bin Laden, what's that other dude's name? Joe Biden care, some goddamn care for animals, which I don't know how good that would even do because shit don't seem like it works. It's high as hell for humans. So. But anyway, man, just to, when I took the dog even to the hospital, to the vet, right, they said that, you know, she was in critical to just to even examine the dog and, you know, whatnot to try to, start a procedure on her. It said I had to pay $585 up front, right then and there. I think it was like $850, but I had to pay down right then and there $585. I'm like, God damn. Shit, I don't even pay my own goddamn hospital bills. Well, I really don't try to go, but when I do, I ain't gonna, shit. Never mind, y'all. I might say that shit out too loud. I'd be getting some garnishments in the mail in the morning, or Monday morning. But them goddamn vet bills high as a mother sucker. Man, goddamn, ain't nothing cheap no more. But anyway, I got a couple of things I want to throw out here, man. Hey, did y'all see Joe Biden the other day? I know Justice did, y'all. Ain't no shit. There ain't no doubt about it. I know Justice watched his president do his fizzle on television the other night. You know, I tried to. I started watching. I was going to see what he was going to talk about, and I went to sleep, y'all. I went to sleep, you know. But I wanted to see just what was gonna be said, and you know, just want to hear. Just got to keep up with what's going on. But I didn't get a chance to check it out. And let me see. By the way, I got to announce something else. While I'm saying that, I'm talking about Justice, and I'm gonna tell y'all something about Justice. See, this is his thing. I didn't say this. He said it, but I would give him his prop for this, right? But anyway, let me say this before I say that part. So right now, you know, I appreciate, like I said, Justice for standing in, you know. So he'd been on the show, what, damn near call in, what, every show episode that I basically be on sometime. About, what, damn near a year or two, something like that. So I think it's just fitting, man. He did a good job last week standing in. So I think, why not, man? Just go ahead. He's Coach of Freedom anyway, regardless. Y'all Coach of Freedom, too. Y'all don't get a chance to call in, but y'all Coach of Freedom. But I'll just say that now he's a part of Coach of Freedom, and I would say as a host as well. I bring a brother in as a co-host, co-pilot. You know, come on in with me and stand in, though. So, yeah. So, officially now, he's starting his position as a co-host. Now, his salary starting off, I'm going to start him off with $90,000. Now, hold up, Justin. Whoa, $90,000 a year. But now, wait, I got to say something. Whoa. That's $90,000 a year in IOU. So, I owe you $90,000 a year. That's an IOU. So, when I get it, if George Soros or somebody send me some money, I owe you $90,000 a year. So now I'm putting it on the record. That's yes, sir, I'm just playing with you, brother. Just joking. But, yeah, so, yeah, he will be holding it down with me. Hell, he been holding it down anyway, y'all. Y'all know that shit. So just officially, we just put that on record. And let's see what else we got. What do we got right fast? Then we're going to talk about some stuff here, too. We're going to talk about probably about maybe some things about, I'm going to bring the brother in. We got some things here. We'll probably talk about the Joe Biden. And let me ask y'all something. Did y'all see the interview with Dr. Umar Johnson. Yeah, I put respect on his name, Dr. Umar Johnson. Y'all see that interview he did on the Breakfast Club? I play a little excerpt of it, a little bit of it. I enjoyed it. But I'm gonna tell y'all something right fast. The part that I really jumped off the train with him, and I get that like, wait a minute, you were doing good. He started all this stuff about the school. Now that's when I jumped off the train with him and like, oh, there you go with that shit, that shiggity. Yeah, when he started talking about the school, yeah, the Fregulous Douglas Marcus Garvey School Academy or whatever his name, what it's supposed to be. I say, here you go, still with this bullshiggity. But anyway, I digress on that one. But I liked everything else he said. I really didn't find too much fault with everything else that he was laying out. Just it right there. But the call-in number, y'all, you can check out right here on this particular show. Hell, not this particular show. Y'all can write this down in case we every time we come on. We're going to try to make sure we do this every Friday, try to be consistent. So the call-in number right here, the guest call-in number, area code is 563-999-3552. Yes, one more time. That area code is, I think this is an hour number. God damn it, can you say it? Nope, I can't say it. I ain't that damn country, y'all. I am a country, that's why I can't say it. Hour. Yeah, there you go. 563-39-3552. Yeah, and also that 9 I was talking about last time, I was messing around though when I was saying my 3-6 is upside down, but that's cool. Not the 6s, y'all, but the 9s. I like that 9. You know what? Because I'm Sunray 9. They did that just for me, y'all. They did that just for Brother Sunray 9. They put them 9s in there, and you know those 9s of the 9, those 3 9s. Actually, I remember that in the Holy Tablet, Dr. York. I was trying to find it right fast, but I just throw it out here. It was some part in the tablet where Doc was even talking about, you know, 9 ETH and stuff like that. It says 9 to the 9th power of 9. 9 to the 9th power of 9, which is our number. Like I said, again, when we get into this thing called mathematics, what is the highest number in mathematics, y'all? Huh? 9. Nothing is higher than the number 9. So, yeah, I like that right there. They gave it to me, y'all. They gave it to me. They customized it right there. 3 9s, 9 to the 9th power of 9s. I like that. I like that. Yes, sir. They showing us who we are. They giving it to us. That melanin, that ether, 9 ether. Let me bring my brother Justice in this house right here. Uh-oh. Come on, thing. Come on. Just spinning. Come on. It'll pick up in a minute. Peace to my brother Justice. Peace to you, my brother. Peace, peace, peace.
Peace. And greetings to the good brother Sunray 9 here on Culture Freedom Radio. Yes, yeah, man. Those 9s, you affiliated with that, the brother Sunray 9, and you just laid out the 9s. And then I guess that's the reason why you paying me such a high salary, $90,000 for my first year.
Yes.
So I appreciate that a lot. I know that's my, and it's just going to be an IOU, $90,000. But hey, man, look, that's a hell of a salary, man. I'll take it.
Well, part-time job anyway, yeah, you know.
Even though I ain't going to never receive none of it, that's a beautiful thing. Thank you very much.
Hey, what they say, long as I owe you, you ain't never broke.
I'm going to be $90,000 ahead.
There you go.
I'm always going to have $90,000.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it. But no, I've been on with you since 2018, January. I started talking to you early in January 2018.
Man, that long?
Time flies, right?
Woo!
Yeah, man, 3 years. 3 years. 18, 19, 20, 21. So, yeah, man, 3 years. So man. I'm Culture Freedom Left, y'all. Culture Freedom Radio Left Wing.
That's the part. I'm glad you said that. Now, y'all heard him, did it? What did he say? He winged? What's that again, brother?
I'm on the left wing. I'm on the left side.
There you go. Hey, so he got
Culture Freedom got two sides now. That's what's up, because every group don't have two sides.
So hold on. If you the left, then what am I then? You trying to sound
right?
You always
on the right. You on the right always with them. That's all right, man. We got to have it that way. It's all right. We come together, though. That's how we make it fly.
Yes, sir. I do. Yeah, we got that. We got the middle, man. But we meet in the middle to make this thing work. So that's good. That's all good. If you trip me out, you did. I'm the coach of freedom player. Yes, <sir.
laughs> Yeah, you coach freedom right always. So that's how it go. We got two sides of it. So whatever side you need to see, we got somebody for you.
Yes, sir.
All right. So
speaking of left, did you see the did you watch the address? I almost said State of the Union, but it wasn't the State of the Union. Do you see that with Joe Biden? The thing.
I was looking at some of it. Yeah, I didn't get the chance to check the whole thing out, but what he was saying, I heard some of what he was saying and laying out. So, yeah, he comes across real laid back. And, you know, he's got this thing worked out now where I think he might pre-read his script, or he's at least being able to see the teleprompter much better where, you know, he can make it out much better. Because when he first started out doing this thing again with the politics, he never was in the front position where he had to do all the reading from the teleprompters and stuff. So he's getting better at that, just like most of the presidents who – come in there, they do the same thing. They get on script and say what they're supposed to say that was either written for them, or they jotted down some things they wanted to say. And so at any rate, he laid out some things, and then they said Tim Scott, who was the person the Republicans put up to combat what Joe Biden said at the end of his speech, tasked on saying things that people on the right, or on the left rather, disagree with that he said. And a lot of it was the part where he said that there's no racism in America, or race, or America is not a racist country, to something to that degree, Sunray.
Yeah.
Now, I know you could find the clip. Now, I was trying to do this before I came on, but I was having some difficulties and I couldn't pull up nothing. It was like somehow I wasn't being able to check out anything that I wanted to. So so I wasn't able to see that. But if you could find that clip, maybe what he said, we can analyze it a little bit. But, no, I didn't pay attention to him as much as I would have if I had more time that day when he was speaking. I was kind of busy. And, you know, I've had a few busy days, so I haven't caught up on all the politics this week. But I'm kind of caught up on some of it, but not everything. So just to go back on what you said about Dr. Umar and how when he came on the Breakfast Club, and, you know, he was laying out a lot of stuff, and I, after listening to him and while he was speaking, I thought that the things that he was saying you would agree with, because he was opposed to a lot of things that the Democrats are opposed to, and he didn't like taking a side. He'd rather have someone come from an independent standpoint, and that's who he put his trust in, a candidate that would come from an independent prospect. That's very rare that you would come out of an independent standpoint and win any election, because that's not even a party. That's just a place to be. That's like an island of your own. It's not a political party to be an independent. So, unfortunately, Dr. Umar doesn't understand politics to the fullest that he does in psychology and other things that he's very brilliant at. But he should probably just stick to what he's good at and leave the politics alone, because he's not capable of grasping the full understanding of how the dynamics of politics and why it works the way it works without sizing everyone and just going on the island of your own and claiming independence when that's not a party and there's no leverage in an independent place. There's nothing there. You're just a whole bunch of people on islands of your own.
Yeah,
all right, so
they never win. I'm trying to find, you know, it's a portion of his clip. I'm trying to pull it up. Hell, I can't seem to find it. But go ahead, brother. I'm gonna play.
Yeah. So he was saying, who are you looking for? Tim Scott?
No, the
Umar.
Umar, just portions of it. Don't tell me they took it. Didn't tell me they took it down.
So He was good. As, you know, I liked a lot of what he was saying too, Brother Summary, but there was a couple of points where
who was it, Umar?
Where there's a couple of times when he was speaking where I wish that he wouldn't do what he does, which is to just put out an opinion and not have any facts behind it. And he does that a lot where he'll jot out a lot of factual information, but then he puts his opinion on top of things. And his opinion is often misconstrued or incorrect. And so that's the only thing I would like to deal with him about, which would be to keep his opinion to himself and just deal with the facts that he brings to the table that you can't really refute. You see what I'm saying? Because he said something about, I can't remember right now, but he said something and it was just opinion. And I was like, man, that's not even, you know, there's no way to even prove anything he just said on that one. So based on his opinion, it's just not substantiated. You can't trust that, not unless you can prove what he said. Now I'm going to back up again, going back to what you were saying about the totems or back in Kemet, and you're dealing with the animals and you're dealing with the totems that the humans use as an attribute to themselves, as to something that they found or they were fond of or they looked at and studied and found them to be something that was to uphold. And it would be a particular type of an animal. And even as I thought about it, it was the first time I even thought that the totem that we use throughout the world, but, you know, beginning in Africa where you see most totems where they began, but then you would see totems in South America, in Central America, and even in North America, there's totems that are used all over the world. So the totems that you were describing, a lot of them are the totems that people would choose that fit their attributes of kind of who they were or what the animal represented. So the ones that would fly, and there may be a hawk as a totem or an eagle as a totem. So, you know, there's different reasons why they choose the different totems. You would have in different countries different totems chosen because the animals in those countries are exclusive to those countries. So you won't see certain animals from another country being used as totems in another country, but they're still using totems representing animals. Now, the totem is something that you can have more than one of. So if your totem represents the lion, you can also have a totem that would represent a hawk. So sometimes the zodiac, the way that the cosmos align you when you're born, it'll match you up with a zodiac or it'll match you up with a totem that will align you to link you with a certain totem. So, you know, like, you know, I say being born in August, I'm the last day Leo, and that's a representative of a lion. So that's kind of like automatically a totem of mine, the lion. And thinking of myself as a descendant of those great ones in Kemet, and then feeling like I more line up like Heru. So my totem, like Heru's totem, is a hawk. So I have a lion and a hawk as a totem for myself. And when I might wear it or just to represent my attributes of my soul or my spirit. That's, you know, like something that can see things clearly or see above things. That's something that can fly in the sky and can see down and look down on things and just kind of see everything. So that's like the all-seeing flying bird that can see everything. And then the lion is one that has a lot of different qualities. So there's strength and there's courage, you know, and then there's the loyalty, but then there's, of course, the territorial aspects of the lion too, where he's territorial. And so it's just certain things about certain animals. And then when I was thinking about it, the dog, in ancient Kemet, they will use a particular dog symbol, and they may have that as the head, and then the rest of the body would be, you know, a human in human form. So in reality, what was going on, they would carve a mask or carve something out that would be an image of a particular animal, and they would wear that on their face at a particular time of a ceremony. And it would be in human form, but in the representation of the totems that, you know, who you aspire to be, or who, what was passed down from your mother and your father who gave you your totems. So even here in this country, now we learned about the Native Americans when we was younger growing up, and we learned that they had totems. And a lot of times they would have, pole was what we would refer to, and we would see all of these different images on a pole, and it would be maybe just different faces or just images of different ways of looking. And then the other ways of totems were like a fox. Like in this country, you see a lot of fox totems. Or you know, the representation of someone who kind of studied the fox and how it moved and what it did, and then it's like, okay, I'm quiet and I'm sleek and I'm clever and I'm like these type of things. And so you take on the attribute. And if it was a big buffalo that would be a totem for someone out in the West. When they had a whole lot of buffaloes, they would take on the image of that because it was something special about those buffalo, and they were very intelligent, and they were very strong beasts, and you can do a lot with them. Now, they would only kill one every now and then just to survive, because they wouldn't just see something and just kill. They would just do it just for survival purposes. So the majority of them are going to live, and they would just kill one at a time or something like that. But it wasn't until the white Europeans got in the mix and went on the slaughterhouse and killed all of the daggone buffalo, everyone that they seen. So that never happened until the white Europeans came and started doing that. But that's another subject for another day. So, but these totems, you know, it's something to get into. Like I was telling you about the teacher, my preacher teacher, Rabbi Elam DeMuzulu. He's very good at teaching about the totems. Now, I haven't become a master teacher or a master at all in this subject yet, so I'm still learning myself. But I find it intriguing that all over the planet, people use these type of images to represent themselves and maybe their groups and their nations or tribes. And they would just do these ceremonial things and paint these masks that they would carve out of, a lot of times, wood, or carve out of different types of natural things like tree bark or just different ways. I'm not sure all the names of what it was, but I know I've seen them. And, you know, it's just a case study. Now, the last thing I'm going to say on this thing is that you were bringing up how you went to the hospital for your dog and the bill was $500 and something. And that was a brilliant way of looking at it when you thought about having something like a, you know, you need a Obamacare for dogs. or something like that. So what I'm looking into, based on what you said, is that I'm sure this is going to happen because it always happens this way. When we say something, the next thing you know, somebody about to do something with what we said. Animal health care insurance. I don't know if that exists, but that's something that maybe, you know, somebody can dwell into. Animal health care insurance.
I think it does. I think it do, because I think I had another dog before, and I think they was telling me something like that before. Not sure. Shit, I can't even afford goddamn health care. I know damn well I ain't finna can't afford for a damn dog. I mean,
yeah,
not a damn.
Yeah, I know that 500 hurts you right there, man. I know that. Dang, man, for one dog, like, oh, man. Like
my brother
said, I didn't even pay that for myself.
Yeah, my brother, he had a dog he took there, and he paid $1,000 for, like, you know, you take him in, they said, it's critical. You got to pay this up front. He said he paid $1,000, and the dog still died. I forgot what was wrong with him. Yep. So he paid $1,000 up cash front, and it still passed away. Yeah. So them damn animal hospitals, man, are high as hell. Like, ain't nothing with them. Ain't no negotiating no payments. You know, like animal. Well, you just pay the deductible. Like, you know, you go in there, pay a deductible, and shit. And I think a lot of that, man, too, it puts you in a dilemma too. And when I mean put you in a dilemma, put you in a decision making, you have this animal, a dog or whatnot, and you can't pay that. The only option you have then is to put the dog to sleep. I forgot what they call it, euthanize. That's the other dilemma. So you, by you trying to save the dollar and you don't have that money to pay up front, the other option they're going to give you, well, only thing we can do here is just euthanize them. Like, that's kind of like, damn, you sure that's all you can do? Look, it's nothing like they can negotiate with you and try to save, you know, the animal's life or whatnot, man. That's basically what it is. And it's damn near, you know what? And it may be the same reason, and we're saying that about the animals, but you really damn near think about it, like when somebody's on life support in a hospital, they start looking at, you may have insurance, but your insurance start running out, and what they start want to tell you, well, you might want to make a decision that, you know, hey, if you want to go ahead and pull the plug or not, because they might not make it or whatever, you know, insurance is running out. Now, you got a situation like, man, damn, come on, bro. He might come out, get another week or another song. Well, your insurance ain't going to pay for it, and, you know, right, we don't know how, you know, we got to go ahead and unplug them because, you know, who going to pay for it? And there you go, in a bad situation as a family member, you don't have the money, so what else can you do? But like, damn, I guess we got to unplug them. And it runs the same way with humans. How this shit, man. Yep. Yeah. Same way. Yeah. Man,
now,
that's crazy.
Did you hear about, I mean, you know, I was going to change the subject and ask you a question. Did you hear about what happened to the former president's lawyer this week?
Giuliani?
Yep.
What, he's getting investigated or something?
Yeah, man. The feds went in there and took all of his laptops and everything, and they all in his business, man, to see if he did some criminal things related to what the president might have had him going doing across the, you know, around the world, as far as things that another branch of the government was supposed to do, instead of having some hiring your lawyer to go and do something, do what he's going over there to do. And that's what he's being investigated for.
And I heard they're still pushing some of this Russia bull crap. Because, like, what I've heard on a news outlet, because I didn't really get into it, but I heard on a news outlet, they still trying to see did he do any kind of dealings, even before Trump, with, what you call it, that place, the Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is a window into catching up to Trump's stuff, too, now. So they're going to go at his lawyers first. And then after that, after they find something on his computer or whatever, that's going to be enough for them to go and investigate the president, too, and indict his stuff.
Man, that's the Teflon Don. They didn't name him Donald Trump for nothing. That's the Teflon Don.
Yeah, he was Teflon Don.
They investigated this dude for 4 years, didn't find nothing. They got everybody.
A whole lot. Teflon.
They didn't miss. They got everybody.
A whole lot.
Man, you ain't messing with the Don, man. He look.
I'm telling you, you think he
impeached him twice and still didn't convict him?
Yeah, well, that's because it was crooked.
But then, what's the use of trying to mess with the man now? Hell, he's gone. They got what they want. They got the power. What's that song?
They ain't good enough.
Power.
They ain't good enough.
They got the power. I know it. That's how them damn Democrats run. They don't. That's how they work. They want blood. They want your dead caucus laying on that damn slack.
I tell you what, he better not die because we get him for what he did. So,
yeah, I know it.
Because we will dig him up and set him up and prop him up and put him through the courts and then convict him and then bury him back down.
Yeah, no, yeah. If he died and came back to life, reincarnation, they gonna charge his ass for something.
Oh yeah,
and I did. I got the Umar Johnson thing. This here clip about 4 minutes. Now he's gonna make some excellent points in this right here. Excellent point. Let me see. I got a screen share because I am.
I thought you would like this.
I am on. This is like this ain't going into a lot. It just. He's just dealing with Joe Biden on this one. I got a screen share because I am on Talk Shoe and I am on camera. So let's jump into a little bit just here, I hope.
I want to go to President Biden. President Biden, your first day of office.
Can you hear it, first of all? Can you hear Joe?
Yeah, sounds clear.
I'll make sure. Let me bag it back up then. All right, here we go.
I want to go to President Biden. President Biden, your first day of office. You signed an executive order to protect the life and safety of transgenders. I have no problem with that. But you did it on your first day. But he sat up here with you, Charlamagne, and told black people that if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. So if you went out of your way begging black people to vote for you, why haven't we got an executive order or any other activity coming out of the Oval Office from President Biden to protect black people from police? Look what he's doing with the anti-Asian hate. President Joe Biden signed an executive order that is exclusive to Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders. I don't have a problem with that. But if you can protect the Asian American and Pacific Islander from violence, why can't you do the same thing for black people? They've been dealing with violence for 1 year as a result of COVID. That's what it's called, the COVID-19 hate crimes bill. To protect Asians as a result of discriminatory treatment that they've been dealing with for how long? 1 year. Black people have been catching hell for 400 years, and we have yet to get an executive order from Joe Biden to protect us from the police. So can I ask you a question? If the Senate was able to pass the anti-Asian hate crimes bill, Charlamagne and Envy, 96-1, with almost no opposition, why is it that the Emmett Till lynching bill still has not been approved? Why is it that there have been over 200 different anti-lynching bills introduced in the U.S. Congress? 200! And not one of them has been approved by the U.S. Congress yet. But the first ever Asian bill goes through on the first try. Look at the racism. Look at the discrimination. Look at the bias. Look at the inequity there. And why are they catering to the Asians? You know why? Because the amount of white people in this country is shrinking.
Right.
And whenever the amount of white people in America shrinks, America looks to find other white groups or other minority groups that they can build an alliance with to protect their power and their interests. Who better than the Asians? They're just as conservative politically as many middle-class white Americans. They are just as economically comfortable as many middle-class white Americans. They don't like black people just as much as many middle-class white Americans, not to mention that this can go a long way towards building relationships with Asian countries on the continent of Asia that America can't afford to build an alliance with Russia. Let us be clear about something. The continent of Asia is a big problem for the U.S. government. You got three power nations on that continent. You got Russia, that America can't stand. You got China that America can't control. And you got India, which is one of the fastest growing populations, and it is quickly becoming the IT giant of the world. Kamala Harris is not the vice president by accident. Kamala Harris is the vice president on purpose because America needed to send the nation of India an olive branch to improve their relations because America can't afford for India to get tight with China or Russia. This is politics. And they're going to use the Asians, probationary whites. They're going to upgrade them to probationary white status to make sure that they stay on the side of the white man and not go on the side of the black man. This Asian agenda is a distraction from the issues that are affecting black people. How do you sign an executive order for the transgenders, executive orders for the Asians? He has signed nothing for black people. And mind you, Envy and Charlemagne, there have been at least five notable police terrorism cases on Joe Biden's watch. You had the 16-year-old sister who was shot 4 or 5 times with the knife. Mm-hmm. And I don't want nobody to tell me that the police were justified.
We're going to get to that.
Okay,
we'll get to
that. I got you. Yeah. But the five, her. Mm-hmm. And then you have Officer Nazario, the African Latino brother who was harassed by the police mm-hmm. in his car.
Mm-hmm. The lieutenant.
You had the brother, 17-year-old boy, murdered by the police in the bathroom in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Anthony Thompson Jr.
The other brother in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, who was shot
yep.
in the execution of a warrant. And I'm missing some. Oh, Dante Wright, who mm-hmm. was murdered, and she thought it was a taser. Tasers don't look like guns. Tasers don't feel like guns. They don't weigh the same as guns. And there's no way under heaven you accidentally thought a taser was a gun. But again, five cases, and the president still has not acted. The same president that told the Breakfast Club that if you black and don't vote for me, you ain't black. Well, why haven't you done anything for black people yet, Joe Biden?
Answer that, Joe. Answer that, Joe. We waiting. We waiting. Keep on waiting. Well, yeah, I just had to throw that in there, y'all. Hey, Umar, I don't disagree with you. I ain't disagreeing with you. Hey, he laid it out, man. Hey,
but
it
look,
is what it is. Why?
You know, you said, okay, you after he started talking about the schools, you dropped off. But he talked about the schools before he got to this part, son, right?
You know what I'm talking about? No, I stopped listening to the interview. I just wasn't agreeing with it when he started lying about the school. Now, I listened to the whole interview. I just liked it when he started saying it. I'm like, oh, here we go with this bull.
He said he's 3 weeks away from repairs in three different ways for the schools to be up and running. And
he was three weeks. Hell, what? 4 or 5 years ago, wasn't he?
No, he wasn't. But I've watched the progress, so he's real close.
How many times he said, because he got on there, first of all, I come back to Biden, he came back and they're talking about, well, it's taking so long because he don't have nobody want to volunteer, electricians, plumbers, and all of these. Black people don't want to buy. So, you know, and they need money to fix this. So how you 3 weeks out if ain't nobody volunteering and this and that and you need the money? So now all of a sudden you're talking about you 3 weeks off. So which one is it? Are you getting the volunteers, the people who's going to do it, or are you 3 weeks off? I mean, so do you have the money to pay for it? It's lying again. Now, other than that, is it school? Like you were saying some other things that you disagree with him. I just disagree. I mean, I don't believe him. I'm going to say that. I don't believe him what he's saying about the school. And I have no stake in it. I ain't donated nothing. So, you know, and I'm not going to donate. So really, I don't have no opinion. I do have opinion, but I really don't have a vested in it. If he do open the school, if he don't open the school, I have no children I'm trying to send there anyway, but you know.
He gets in front of his own self a lot of times because he's often misunderstood and he sounds arrogant sometimes coming across, even if the way in which he may ask for donations, he may sound a little bit too upfront or too much like begging instead of a generous asking to help to donate. So being though I know the brother, for me, I may want to get in contact with them because there's ways to get things done, and brothers will lend a hand, but it's not what you say, it's how you say it. It's not what you're asking for is how you ask for it. So, you know, maybe I can somehow assist him in the area of going to the different groups or at least speaking with them and trying to get them on board with what he's trying to do. Because sometimes it's you come off a certain way and you ask someone to help you, but it seems like you're too upset, or you seem like you're too, you don't, your heart is too, help me somewhere with what I'm trying to there's something
that's
going on where
you too con man. That's it. And I
okay,
know
so you too
that's
con
your
man.
Left
I'm
side.
Gonna say
my
that.
Bad. That's your left side. You're gonna be, you know, you're progressive with it. I'm just gonna be on the right. I'm just gonna lay it all out. See, I'll tell you
that's
what
fine.
That is.
That's, I mean,
you can't see what it is. It's just like he can't have his way. Things are not going his way. So the thing he do, he gonna talk bad at black people now,
yes,
because they're not falling for the bullshit. Everybody were at first. Everybody was at first.
But
here's the thing again, right? When you was asking for the money, everybody just went, put out the blueprint. They just went because, you know, that you was laying out some stuff that people, you know, can agree with what he was saying.
Yeah.
But then it started laying out, okay, well, brother, look, it's been X amount of time, brother. Like I said, you ain't went to Home Depot. You know, I said this a long time ago. You ain't went to Home Depot, bro, and bought one freaking brick. You got X amount of dollars, $500,000 or whatever. You ain't brought one brick, bro. Now, hold up, bro. We getting impatient here. See, this is what, like, come on, bro. You don't see no progress. That's the thing. No progress is being made. They didn't see nothing. So now you getting upset with people because they not giving you their hard earned goddamn money. Because number one, brother, you can't go to any goddamn bank and tell them folks like, Sunray, I want to buy a studio so I can open up a real Culture Freedom Radio studio. Okay, well, Mr. Sunray, we that sound good. You know, we cool with that. But what do you have as collateral? What do you have you can show for? They want to know how they gonna get their goddamn money back. They'll let the money, lay out the credentials and they want to know exactly, because they ain't gonna give me no money if they know they ain't gonna get their money back. So the whole thing with Umar, they want to, the people didn't went out. They just went off, you know, faith with it, like they in the church. Or the religious thing that people say. They went off faith and believing in that brother. But after a while, that shit goes away, bro. Come on now. Look how long it's been. How many years it's been? It's been a mighty long time, Doc. Now, even though you've been showing you got somewhat of a building, you say you got a building, but still again. Now, even when you get this building, let's say you do get it fixed and open. How you going to fund it to run it? You have to keep having money coming in. And run. If you can't get the money to get it fixed and build it up now, how in the hell you are going to be able, and you getting mad at people because you asking them for donors, you know, donorship to fund it, bro. And if you don't go, you're not going to depend on the government, how you going to keep that school open? You got to pay the light bills. You got to pay the staff. You got to do all this. How is he going to do this shit if he can't even get the building fixed now? From the start, it's been years. So how
now,
is he going to maintain when he get it open?
One thing he didn't mention on the Breakfast Club show was that the state of Delaware, that where the school is, two schools, I guess, they're charging him a whole bunch of taxes to pay too. So he didn't mention that on the show. But they want, I think it's $300,000 in taxes for the properties, too.
Property tax, because it's sitting there. And yeah. See, you gotta get it. That's what I'm saying. Okay, you when you do open it, how are you still, because you're trying to do this off the backs of black people. I'm going to say this, off the backs of black people. Because you say you ain't getting no government funded. It's going to be black on black ran, but now the people are not. And they trying to, you asking for money to get it up and running. So, bro, how you going to keep it maintained? How you going to maintain it, even if you do scrape up the penny, nickels, and dimes to get the electricity bill? I think he mentioned
about. It's
going
to cost money to go to that school.
The AC. Yeah, it's going to cost some money. But then you think about it. Now with all this COVID shit going on, people ain't even going to goddamn so-called regular schools. And my thing about it, again, that's why I asked this. I said this. Now, you're not talking about sending children off to college, these campuses. So even if he's in, what is school at in Delaware?
Yeah, I think it is. Well, I'm not, let me see, is it Maryland? Not Maryland. It's definitely, yeah, I guess it's Delaware, man. I think it's Delaware.
Now, think about it. Now, let's say, we're just going to say that the conscious community, which, you know, people so-called in the conscious community, people who believe in them. Now, you got people in New York, you got people in Atlanta, you got people probably in Memphis, you got people, you know, all over, right?
Mm-hmm.
How are these and people who fund him, you donated to him probably all over the United States. How are their children going to go to their school? So you mean, so are they going to send their children off to school like they send, like we send teenagers off to college and let them stay there and live there on that campus or something? Do we have dormitories there? Or are you going to have to move in that city, Delaware, where the school is located? In order for
I
your
think
children.
It's Baltimore. Is it Baltimore? Is it Baltimore? I'm trying to look at the map now so I can tell you for sure where it's at. I'm not sure. But he was talking about busing children from Philly back and forth to the school, which is not that far from Philly, maybe an hour away or less.
Every day you're going to bus your children. See, the what I'm saying, the people who can only go to their school, it would be in that general vicinity, man, in that area. But what I'm saying, you got people in California who, all of these people who he's asking to donate this money, that's cool. People want to see you have a certain academy. That's why I was saying maybe it should have been a better way of doing this. I'm not knocking the brother's idea about having a school. But it could have been another. Now, I would say, like I said, long time ago, if he would had maybe set up something in Philly where he was at and maybe started the Marcus Garvey, the Frederick Douglass Marcus Garvey Academy or something to that degree. I forget exactly what it's called. I hope I said
that
right.
That's exactly it. You're exactly right.
He would have started it in Philly, right? He would have started something, maybe some small in Philly. And maybe say, let's school there, and started a charter school, opened them all probably in different places in the United States. That way it could have been one in Atlanta, one over here, one over there, in different places. But he come up with the curriculum school system. And, you know, and somebody else want to join on, say, you had the money, just like, hey, brother, I wanted, you know, me and some other brothers and sisters in this city, like, hey, we want to get in on that. You know, we got a building. Let's start up. We can start a charter school under here. And like I said, everything, and they can just get the information online. And, you know, everything will be go through there. And wherever his school at would be the mother school. I would say the mother school, the central location where everything goes through where he's at in Philly. Instead of trying to be this one big-ass, massive Howard University-type school, now, like I said, because you got children all over the United States, how are they going to take part? And who believe in you, funding? These people, how the people in California?
They're not going to benefit because they ain't going to be able to get to it.
Unless they're going to send, like I said again, unless it's like a college, you're going to send your children off to school.
But it ain't like a college.
Yeah, to board them children there. So, like I'm saying, is, you know, you're looking at something, and I wouldn't trust sending my children. I'm just being honest. In this day and times, how things are, not to say Umar Johnson is going to do nothing to nobody's children, but I wouldn't send my child off to nobody's goddamn school like that. No way. Not in this climate.
I'm with you on that, Sunray, and I know the brother, but I'm with you on that one.
And I'm not saying it wouldn't be him. It could be anybody, somebody on his staff, but that wouldn't be the proper thing to do. You sending your child off, I don't know, about 10 years old.
He's too bullheaded for me.
You want to send your child off and stay there. And I think I thought now, I heard him say that before, that he was going to have like a boarding school at one particular time. I think he was looking at some in Atlanta or somewhere.
I heard him say that too. Mm-hmm.
That shit don't work, dog. Nah, that shit don't fly. But the going back to the part where he was saying about Biden, he was dead ass. I should be dead ass because I'm.
That's all right. Go ahead, man. You're a cussologist, brother. Go ahead, lay it out.
But I can't say that. I can't use the word ass and be even going to talk about the LGBT. Now that don't.
But then you already set it up. Cut it in half.
I heard somebody say that before. That dead ass, bro. You know, instead of saying that's right on. But he was right. In the first 100, in his first day in office, he signed an executive order, which he already told people he was going to do. Now he kept his campaign promise. Which he, to them, specifically to that community, he did it in the first 100 days. I mean, first day in office, not 100, but first day. Now they came up with this Asian type thing. Now, again, here we go again. Like Malcolm told you, when you put them first, they put you last. The black people, y'all know how it go. The black people who is the backbone of the Democratic Party, who fought Stacey Abrams, all of them, and they said, we handed Joe Biden the damn election. We handed it to him. You're right, because black people went out and, as they say, record numbers and voted for old Joe. No Joe. Smoking Joe. They voted for Smoking Joe. And y'all handed it to him. But what is he handing y'all back? What is he handing y'all back? Where is his, like, you know, Cube then was talking about a platinum plan. We ain't heard a goddamn silver plan, sterling silver, fake gold plan, no kind of plan for the black community now on the Joe. Wait till we get into the office and then we can do something for you. See, that's the bullshit. See, now that was the campaign promise like they usually do. See, he made a campaign promise to LGBT community, and he kept that motherfucker. I mean, skipped motherfucker. But then now when it came down to black people, just wait till we get in there. We can talk. They did what politicians do on that. Tell you we're going to give your ass something. And once they get in there, we told you what? I don't remember that conversation. That's the type of shit they doing with black people. So it's the same old situation. Like,
he laid it out in his speech the other night.
He said, what are you going to do
for black people?
Joe them ain't going to do shit. Like this, all this police stuff they talking about to protect and come on, man. And again, somebody was saying, I heard somebody was on the show, they was talking about Obama. They were saying so many things. Wait a minute, hell, it was Umar Johnson. Umar Johnson was saying how Obama, now he's coming out talking about the police, against police brutality and all this. When he passed a bill called, what was the Act Blue or some Blue Lives Matter? He the one started that Blue Lives Matter shit to protect the police. Now all of a sudden he's out of there. Now all of a sudden, with this social bull crap, and y'all blessed to believe they're using black people again, right? Your pain, your suffering, your trials, what you're going through, they don't give a damn about us getting killed down by no police, nobody else, not even by ourselves. They don't give a shit. It's something else they're trying to do, y'all. Best to believe, it's what they call the bait and switch. This is the flea flicker. This ain't got nothing to do. They don't care. All this racism shit and all that stuff they got, man, they don't give a rat's ass about what's happening to us. Not at all. Oh, and by the way, since I'm saying that, there's some crazy stuff that's supposed to be happening here in this city. Oh, where the hell it go, y'all? And I say they're trying to do this here to piss the goddamn Klan off. This is crazy as hell. Juneteenth, right? In this city, they've been having Juneteenth celebration. It was in two parks. Come on, where the goddamn article go? Don't tell me they don't took it down. But anyway, I'll try to just remember off the top of the dome. It was two parks here. It's called Douglas Park. I don't know if it was named after Frederick Douglass. I really don't know the history of that park because I don't go there. I never went there and never will because, boy, you go to that goddamn park, you might get shot. I'm just dead serious. But anyway, every Juneteenth for years they had the celebration in one park. It was the Douglas Park. here in Memphis. And then things had got so bad. Every year they had a Juneteenth celebration in that park. Somebody got to shooting and fighting, and most of the young folks don't know what the hell Juneteenth was about, just out there. Because like they said, man, hey, just make up a holiday and black people will celebrate it. And that's kind of what they was out there. Just hey, it was just a day to come out there and get, you know, to drink, party, and play your goddamn loud music, not knowing about Juneteenth. So it was a lot of shooting and fighting and shit that went on at that celebration. But they wanted this year move it from Douglas Park, and they had another one called Robert Park. Damn, I can't think of the name of it. Robert E. Church Park. They want to move it from there. And now they had a park. It was a Klan member. He was a Klan. He was the first Grand Wizard, Nathan Bedford Forrest. Y'all heard of him, Nathan Bedford Forrest. Here in this city of Memphis. Let me see. Can I cut this damn thing off? Maybe I can play this shit, man. I'm trying to play the interview right there. Hold on. Let me see. Let me play it. Hold on. One second. I'm going to want to play this.
Why this year's festival location means more than just a change of address.
Freedom is here. Freedom is now. We are at our new home, the Memphis Juneteenth Festival.
In front of the empty pedestal where the statue of Nathan Bedford Forrest once stood, Memphis Juneteenth Festival organizers announced Friday that the annual event will now be held at Health Sciences Park.
There was times in our lives when a little girl like me couldn't even walk in this park. But on today, we have little girls like myself and little boys like my son will be able to walk in this park and feel freedom, right?
Juneteenth Festival President Delisa Franklin says they are reclaiming the grounds. Forrest was a Confederate general and the first Ku Klux Klan Grand Wizard. His statue was removed from the park in 2017, and plans are underway to relocate the remains of Forrest and his wife to Columbia, Tennessee, at the new National Confederate Museum.
This is almost like a book. Once stood a Confederate soldier, now we're having the Juneteenth celebration here on this land. So this is going to be great, and we're looking forward to it.
The Juneteenth Festival has been celebrated in Memphis for 28 years, previously at Douglas Park and Robert E. Church Park. This event will be held June 18th and 19th and will feature education opportunities, vendors, and entertainment from gospel artist Ernest Hughes.
All weekend long, we will continue to impact the lives.
I'm going to just stop it. I'm just stop that. Now, while saying this, what they're actually doing, y'all, I'm going to tell y'all the trick what they're doing. It's a fight, like I said, this park. That Nathan Bedford Forrest, this particular park, he's still buried in this particular park. Nathan, I'm telling you, they had a statue of him riding on a horse, you know, sitting on a horse in his Confederate uniform and all of that. They took the statue down. But right there still where the statue stood, his wife and himself are buried in that particular park and still where they're trying to have that celebration. Now, and the Sons of Confederacy been having it out with these people, man. They've been having it out about their park, but there's a way that they did some old slick underhand stuff anyway to get that statue taken down. Just remember, they started all this statues thing here in Memphis before they started all over the country snatching down statues. But anyway, so with this move that they are actually trying to do, they are actually trying their damnedest to piss off the Sons of Confederacy and really some start some shit. That's just not good. This is my opinion. To really get some shit started, knowing damn well what's wrong with the other parks. What's wrong with, right. I mean, somebody said, process, man, it's, you know, it's, so what, Sunray? Yeah, there's something to this.
It is.
Those other parks, now I can see the Douglas Park. Hell yeah, I agree. Damn, get it up out of there because that's a killing field. But the other park that they have, that's where they had Robert Church Park. It's downtown, right, like by Beale Street, right by the FedEx Forum where the Grizzlies play. Nice park to have it at. And that's where they have the Africa and April festivals at. But just so happened, y'all want to – it's like – and notice why they – notice Juneteenth. You having this particular thing, dealing with our freedom right there. It's like almost time to piss the dead man off. Almost. And y'all going to have this Juneteenth festival about free and slave right here in this Confederate damn park. And that's it's like to kick up some racism shit. Like they want to kick some shit off. That's what it just maybe me in my mind, maybe y'all. I don't know, y'all. But that's what I'm looking at. It's like, why?
Well, you're on to something. But what it is to me is the energy that park has that makes that when black people come together in that park, because of the bad energy that comes from this guy, and he's there and his remains, or there's a statue used to be there, whatever. Just the whole atmosphere right in there is going to be something that's going to be negative towards our spirits. So you say that there's a lot of killing and people arguing and fighting and things going on Juneteenth, which should not be happening.
Yeah,
but that's happening.
At this particular park, they've been having it called Douglas Park. Now, the Douglas Park, now, mind you, is in the so-called black community. It's in a neighborhood called Douglas. Y'all can look it up. Anything about Memphis, it's called Douglas Community. And that park is actually in the black community neighborhood. So that, you know, so they had the elders, instead of going to that park because they didn't feel safe, they said, no, we're not going to keep going there. They decided, the elders said, we're going to have ours in Robert Church Park. I think that's the guy who was the first black millionaire in the city of Memphis. He owned tugboats in this city.
Okay.
So basically, that was a more safer place to have it for the elders. Let them young folk have that shit at their Douglas Park. So, but yeah, so anyway, black people was going to, anybody could have went to, I forgot the name of it now here, that park. They don't rename it, but the park where the statue was at, anybody was going in that park. Now, probably back. Now, she's saying, I remember we couldn't, as little girls, couldn't walk through that park. Now, I don't know about that shit. Like, I'm 50 goddamn years old. She don't look no older than me. I remember walking through that goddamn park when I was young. Now, I'm 50. Now, and she ain't goddamn no look older than me. So, how was I and my mother was able to walk through that damn park, and she talking about she wasn't able to walk through that park. Come on, man. It's been a public park for years. It's just the statue with him, with him on a horse, and his wife been on the damn horse. I didn't know that. I got grown about making a different park. So it's just a bunch of shit. Like I said, it's got some other ramifications by. And like the entity, they're just trying to piss these white folks off. You know, the Klan. It gets some other shit started. Some other racial shit started. It shouldn't be. You know.
But when we got something implanted in our heads about something, and then we go to the place where the person who did this, you know, that's implanted in our heads, it gives us a misperception of the activities that we're trying to do. So we don't understand this. It's just like what happened one year when it was a Juneteenth celebration and it was coming down. It was downtown. It was usually downtown when it first began. Now they've expanded it to where it's only taking place in the black community instead of being downtown, because the energy downtown isn't the same as the energy when you're in the neighborhood. So there's a great elder who figured this thing out, and he said, we're going to stop taking it downtown, and we're going to just have it go throughout our neighborhoods. And once they did that, brought so much revenue to the black community during the celebrations and during the parade and everything, that it's going through all these different parts of the black neighborhoods, that it generated a lot of revenue on that day to a lot of the businesses in the area that's, you know, black owned and operated. So going downtown one time, I got caught up in this Juneteenth celebration, and I ended up just getting into the march and joining with the red, black, and green people, because I had my flag that day with me, and I seen a few people in the march that I knew. And so I just jumped on in, and they invited me, come on in. I went on and got in with them and kind of fell back towards the middle. And while they were marching, they were saying different chants, you know, and black power, different things. It just didn't seem to, for me, why are y'all saying this right now, right here? So they're saying things that I couldn't support. Now, it was something that they were saying was common. No justice, no peace. Okay, that's kind of common, you know, if that's what's going on. But we're still really no need for that yet. There's no need to say that at this time either. This is supposed to be a celebration. We're not here protesting anything. So at any rate, somebody started chanting, "I love being black." And then the response was, "I love being black. I love being..." And now, only thing you see is people on the sidewalks, you know, downtown. It's always mostly white people and people that are tourists coming from out of town. And they're usually like whites or whatever. And so it seems like the arrogance of some black people who just want to boast about their blackness in front of white people to try to take a shot at white people in a degree of a hate, like their way of taking an attempt of lashing out in hatred towards them by boasting about themselves to say, "I love being black" and all this. Now, when we went on the one in West Philly last year and the year before, there was still people in the parade, and the red, black, and green ones was there. But it was none of that overzealous, all of that boasting and bragging about who you are or anything. It was just people just smiling and waving and celebrating the day, you know, of the freedom of people who didn't know that they were free for 2 years and some change, didn't know that freedom had come. So it's a celebration for the people in Texas who didn't know that slavery was over. They didn't find out until 2 years and some change later. And so that's the celebration, is to, now that everybody is free, now we can all celebrate the freedom of all, of everybody who, you know, who had been in bondage. All right, and it happened in June. In the teen months, no one was really sure, but when they found out, it was June something teenth. So they just called it Juneteenth because it wasn't sure it was the 14th, the 15th, the 16th, the 17th. Nobody really was like, "I know it was the 10th. I know it was something the 10th. So, you know, we didn't keep real good records when they first started about what days exactly what this, when they found this information out. So since they found it out, they've been celebrating this for quite a while in Texas. And that spread to other states to celebrate Juneteenth, who had no idea what Juneteenth was or what it meant. And so that's what it's really about. It has nothing to do with getting together and shooting each other up and violence. You shouldn't even come to this thing because you don't have a clue. You're out of place. You don't have no reason to be here if you don't want to come in peace and celebrate the freedom of our people who hadn't known that they were free. For, you know, because those people who had them enslaved wouldn't tell them that the emancipation, you know, had been signed and everybody was free in 1863. They ain't find out until 1865. So that's messed up. Like a year, 2 years and a half later. All right, so it's real messed up.
Yeah,
so we should just kind of... Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, I just think if this, you know, they can do what they want to do, but I think if that, like what she was saying, you know, I think it's something they're trying to do to just constantly keep pissing off those sons of Confederates here, city in Tennessee.
I agree.
But and if they think though, you know, you're going to be. You feel more empowered, or that's going to make you feel a lot freer than what you say you are, just because you have your Juneteenth celebration in a goddamn park where a damn Confederate general is laying dead. Hey man, I don't I don't know what the hell to tell you all that. If that's what make you feel, and that make you feel party, But tell these, just teach the damn other people, hey, brother, like I said, really what the history about, and tell them to stop killing each other and shoot in the park when people trying, why the elders had, like I said, try to move away from you. You know, that's what you teach on. Damn, I don't give a damn. Like I said, I you know, my thing with it, again, and I'm going to play something with the minister, Louis Farrakhan, here, too. My thing, I disagree with them even taking down the damn statues, all of the statues. Not in this, oh, goddamn, Sun Ray, now you tripping now. Oh, goddamn, see, there you go. You sound like you see the eyes with white folks in the Klan. No, no, I ain't the only one. Why I said it is, again, there's some other ramifications with all of this shit. Y'all pay attention to what all they've been doing. See, they're trying to rewrite history, revitalize it, and really clean up their history. The people who truly have been the racist to us and who disagree with us being free in the first place, being emancipated, the people who didn't want to sign the Civil Rights Bill and all of these other bills are the same people now who's trying to play cool with you and trying to pretend now they want to be on your side to help build you up. The same way like they did during the, again, as we were talking about during the election time. We're going to help you. We're going to do this for you. We're going to do that. And now, and look what they've done. Like Umar was saying, first day in office, what happened? Passed the LGBT bill, you know, to help them out. Now something for the Asians. Now, even Barack Obama said, well, I just can't do nothing with black people alone. I'm the president of all people. But it seemed to be y'all always can find a particular community, a particular group of people who ask for something and y'all can do for them. But these so-called group of people, citizens, black so-called, I'm using this word black, so-called citizens in America who have built this mother sucker up with our blood, truly with our blood, sweat, and tears, and all of that shit, and get y'all free fucking labor, not willingly, we can't get nothing that we want. Not just, we ain't trying to tell my man, look, give us some boats, give us some land, give us the goddamn boat so we can get the fuck out of here. Y'all gonna pay for all of it. Build our shit up over there on the island and pay for this and get the fuck out of here. Ain't nobody asking for that. But that's not what we ask. We just look here, bro. Y'all just leave us alone, man. Look, we going by our way. Quit pulling us over, you know, and hurry up and shooting us down. Quit doing this bullshit, man. Come on, bro. Goddamn. We don't do that to y'all. Mm-hmm. So leave us alone when we all see us walking in the street. But that's another story. But let me play some Minister Louis Farrakhan. Goddamn. I want to play some of this about maybe 7. I ain't played no Minister Louis Farrakhan. The honorable. Let me put some respect on his name. The honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I ain't played him in a minute here. He talking about you deserve to be with your enemy. I think this is the right one. Let me make sure.
Wow. That's deep.
Oh, let me make sure this is the right one I want to play, because it was two of them. This might be the one I play.
That don't apply to you, Son Ray. That don't apply to you.
Yeah, that don't apply. This might be the one. It was another one. I'm trying to make sure, because I had two of them. No, that's the wrong one. Play this one, because shit, I had two of them I want to play.
Okay.
I'm going to just do this.
Okay.
I'm going to play this one, because I think of them that I had set up to play this commercial out of here. He said you just be with me. And we do have some people want to desire to be with their enemy too. Let's go ahead and get
because your desire was to be with your enemy. Your desire was to be your enemy. Your desire was to be honored and respected by your enemy. Brothers and sisters, when God comes, you his sight. He can't give you his sight till he gives you light. And his light comes in his word. But now, after you
hear the word. You have a responsibility to respond to the word. Now, you can hear the word and say, oh, I don't like this.
Let me stop it for a second. Just, can you hear it pretty good? Is it chopping?
All right, it sounds a little kind of not so clear.
Okay,
I mean,
let me go.
It's clear, but it keeps like kind of messing up a little bit.
Okay, let me stop that one there. Let me go to the switchboard because I was trying to share it to play the video. Yeah, appreciate it, brother. Brother Cabina, hey, let me know it was chopping up. Okay, let me do it the other way. Let me play it. Let me go back, y'all. Let me do it through the switchboard. I ain't gonna do the video because I was trying to screen share the video along with the blog talk. I'm just gonna play it from the switchboard here, so it's gonna kind of start over, y'all. Let me do it again.
But because your desire was to be with your enemy, your desire was to be accepted by your enemy, your desire was to marry into the family of your enemy, your desire was to be honored and respected by your enemy. Brothers and sisters, when God comes, he comes to give you his sight. He can't give you his sight until he gives you his light. And his light comes in his word. But now, after you hear the word, you have a responsibility to respond to the word. Now, you can hear the word and say, oh, I don't like this. This Negro talking about coming out that I've been fighting all my life to get in. And he talking this come out business. I believe he's crazy. I believe he's a fool. This is the way the people talk about their prophets and their messengers. He's crazy. This nigga asking us to come out just as we were looking like we were getting in. This fool. So you become a disbeliever. You had a chance to believe, but because your desire was to be with your enemy, your desire was to be accepted by your enemy, your desire was to marry into the family of your enemy, your desire was to be honored and respected by your enemy, then that desire caused you to stick your fingers in your ears when you heard a word that brought up a vision that would take you out of the idea of your enemy. So it begins to divide the people, believer, disbeliever. The disbeliever says, oh, I went down to the mosque. I heard them crazy people. I ain't going back there no more. Them people think they gonna build a world. Now you know them niggas is crazy. Why are we crazy? Didn't we help build the white man's world? You mean you can't build a world for yourself? You built one for somebody else, but don't have no heart to build one for yourself, even if God is at the root of it? You say, but I don't want no God if he's going to separate me from my white folks. Some of the old slaves thought like that in the time of Moses. We don't want to go out. Go out where? Into the wilderness? Hell no. I ain't going out there with that crazy Moses. Now, that's the disbeliever. So the disbeliever ain't coming out with great substance. The disbeliever can't get a grip on substance. He continues, she continues to work the idea of the oppressor. And you get little pittance, you know, like the little crumbs from the master's table. He give you that. But then he disrespects you. Here you are in corporate America, the vice president, senior executive vice president of the latrine cleaner. With a degree in engineering, and you're developing flush techniques. Just a little fun, that's all. My point, brothers, sisters, is this. You have good paying jobs, some of you, and you think that's real job security. There ain't no job security in this world. This world is going down and going down fast, man. Anytime these blue chip stocks, these blue chip companies are laying off thousands of workers, that should be a sign to you, man. There ain't no future in a ship. They got holes in it. You see the rat running, you still gonna hold on. I know master gonna bail this one out. No, even if you the engineer, he ain't gonna bail this one out. And you that have hope in his world, you will see your hope gradually extinguished. And if you don't have another vision that would give you hope of something better, then as he fires you after you've worked for 25 years, he says, I'm sorry, I got to downsize. Meaning I got to get rid of excess weight. My company's sinking. That's what it means. You are excess baggage.
What's going on, man? My name is Brother Ben X. Many of y'all know me for the Digital Real Estate Program.
Okay, that's it right there. Oh, man. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, man. I just had to drop some of that today, man. Drop some of that. I ain't played Minister Louis Farrakhan in a little while there. I just had to hear from the minister. I listened, played a couple of them. And man, I was listening to some short ones on Brother Ben X. Not that nice little boy. On his podcast the other day, man. Just reiterating some stuff, man, and recharging myself back to the basics, man. All of my Minister Louis Farrakhan talking about right there, man. You desire to be with your enemy. You desire to be with your enemy. First, you deserve to be with your enemy. I mean, you desire to be with your enemy. Now, you don't deserve to be with your enemy, but some people desire to be with your enemy. Like Malcolm said, by any means necessary, they would do whatever it takes to win a favor of the enemy, do whatever it takes. Turn a blind eye to certain situations. And Louis Farrakhan says sometimes too, you know, certain jobs, you know, we dare be people who would talk crazy to you, man, talk all kind of sideways to you and shit because you on those jobs and they think that you need their job. You need that money. But hey, man, sometimes, man, you got to pay. You a man, you a woman, you deserve to be respected. For no amount of money, you should ever let anybody disrespect you. And I'm going to tell y'all one thing that happened this week on the job I'm on. You know, we got a European who own the company. But a young brother, man, hey, he laid the foundation. Hey, he stood his goddamn ground, which he's supposed to. Never let anybody disrespect you. I don't give a goddamn how much they paying you. Damn all that. You are if they be respected, they got it. Like I said, man, you got to give respect to give respect. So a young brother the other day, man, tripped me out of y'all. Excuse me, elders. I'm going to get PG. I'm going to get rated R a little bit on something I'm going to say. Y'all know I'm going to have to use my profanity. I got to lay it out how he said it, y'all. I missed it. I didn't hear it all the way, but they were telling me, my coworker. You know, the owner had said something to a young brother, tried, you know, got crazy to the young brother. And the young brother told him, man, you know, about some trucks. The trucks got stuck or something. We had to go dump in a landfill. So I guess he started talking, you know, reckless to the young brother. And the young brother, hey, man, you ain't got to talk to me that way. Hey, I'm grown. You grown. You going to respect me. And so he just told the young brother, man, well, leave the truck. Where is that then? He told him, man, I'm just ain't going to cuss y'all. He said, F you and F your damn trucks too. I got a CDL. I don't need your goddamn job. And then he cussed the bad. He cussed the old.
Whoa.
Guy. Everybody was like, goddamn. They was cheering like, yeah, get his ass.
Yes,
get
sir.
Tell his ass like it is. And yeah, he told him like it is, and he quit. But he's like, hey, man, F you and your goddamn trucks. Because you ain't going to talk to me
yes,
no
sir.
Any kind of way. I'm a grown ass man. You,
that's
I deserve
right.
to be respected. So like I say, man, it don't matter, bro. See, that's how, and I've seen it. I've heard people even say, like, you know, people will get disrespected because they don't feel like they're going to lose your job. I understand we have family. I understand that. But still, again, don't let
these guys
talk to you no fucking kind of any kind of way because they'll think that's what it is. They think some of these goddamn jobs, man, think that they the only damn thing that's going in this city, in that city. No.
Yep.
Motherfucker, no, man. Look here, bro. I ain't going to kiss your ass for no job or no money,
nope.
Doc. You going to respect me, man. I ain't going to talk you crazy, but one thing about it, you going to respect me. Let them motherfuckers know, man, we have to stand up. All that bullshit, man. Nothing. Well, bro, I don't want to get fired. I got bills I got to pay. Fuck that. You know, because when you dead and gone, your family still going to have them same motherfucking bills there when you dead and gone. So, man, make them suckers respect you. You know what I'm saying? Because they gonna make you earn. They gonna make you respect them. That's one goddamn thing. But I just had to play the minister. But there's something else I want to throw out right fast. I'm looking at my holy tablet, man. There's so much I want to look at and read in a holy tablet, man. This holy tablet, man, is still a powerful book to me and a lot of great wisdom in it. I like some chapters in it called The Living Soul. And here a lot of things in here called stumbling blocks and stepping stone, the mind, dealing with the mind, breathing, y'all name it, man. The master teacher, Dr. York, man, Dr. Malachi York, they laid out a lot of information here in this tablet. I say it's but I'm looking at one thing I like that he had written in here. He says they have no place. Let me see. We're talking about some other things. He says the righteous person should protect him or herself carefully from any distracting influence. People who lie, steal, or are greedy, or indulge in backbiting, and they pass the time with idle gossiping. It says they have no place in the life of the righteous person. The elders used to say. Now, check this out, y'all. I like this right here, man. Elders always came out with some, man, good sayings.
I don't know.
He said, the elders used to say, the more you notice a monkey, the more it will clown. I like that one, man. The more you notice a monkey, the more it will clown. He said, avoidance is safe. Avoid those disagreeables. I like that right there, man. That's true indeed. More you pay attention to acting the fool, the more he gonna act the goddamn fool. It's like a person, like
right.
you said, he's coming out. You pay attention to him, you give them giving that attention. The more they gonna act the fool and show out even more. So like I said,
I got that.
No attention.
I naturally do that. I don't know what it is with that, but I naturally do that.
Yes,
so a lot of these things are innately in you, like these proverbs and stuff. Some people walk the proverb. I don't know how many people, but I know myself. A lot of times, reading the scripts and stuff, it's like I'm walking these scripts and whatnot. Because when something like that happens, if someone is trying to get attention, even if it's a girl, she is shaking her behind, trying to get my attention, just shaking, you know, dancing to some music or something, right? And and then turn around and see if I'm looking, and then I'm not. I'm like, because I'm not going to give you my attention, even though you got a nice behind, whatever. But I don't want to be entertained that way. So I'm not going to pay attention. I'm going to turn my back and do something else. And then she's still over there doing her thing, trying to get my attention, and I'm still not paying attention. And eventually, she stopped dancing. She's like, well, I guess he ain't gonna look. So you stop dancing. So, but there's other incidents too where you see somebody and they trying to perform because they think that they are going to be a rapper or they think they are a rapper or something. And they out trying to out into the street somewhere and they just performing like they are the rapper that they listening to in their earphone and they perform and acting like this person. And they trying to get everybody else's attention for some reason, but it's not attractive what they're doing. They look like clowns. At least when the music that was hip-hop, the real hip-hop, at least when we would act out in the streets, something that was going on in the music, the dance or the style had style, and it was an actual real dance, and it looked something that it looked like it was attractive. It was something that you wanted to look at. When you see somebody doing those type of breakdance moves or, you know, how they be pop locking and that's attractive. And, and the music incorporated with it, and he's doing the dance to the beat, and it's so mathematically, you know, right on time, everything that the dancer is doing. These days, you see them out walking down the street performing, and they barely moving as the so-called dancing. They just kind of walking in place, just kind of moving their feet slowly like they have a ball and chain tied to one of their feet. And so that's how they rap, and then they move their hands like they're shooting somebody all the time when they rap and doing these type of movements and stuff, which is not attractive. So I don't pay them no attention. A lot of times the young rapper, the young guys that's trying to get people's attention because they really feel like they're a rapper or going to be a rapper or they're doing what they like to see out in public. So they see this on a video or wherever they see somebody performing like this, they're doing or imitating what they're seeing. But to me, it's not attractive to me because there's no style to it. It's just walking in place, acting like you could kill somebody, moving your hands a little bit, and the way they're moving, there's no real dancing involved. So to me, I don't pay no attention to that. Now, if I do see something and it's attention worthy, I'll give them the attention because it's worthy of my attention. But if it's not, it's going to be one of those, what the proverb said about the monkey thing. Like, you know, don't pay the monkey no attention and he won't perform. So I'm not going to pay no monkey no attention because I'm not looking for that. Oh, man.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, there's a lot of power in those proverbs and in the book that you were talking about that you like to read. You should bring some of those quotes up sometime because we can go back and forth on them.
Well, now, this is the Holy Tablet that was, I was translated or written by the master teacher, Dr. Malachi Z. You will be hard-pressed. I think somebody saying they reprint some. I don't know. But, yeah, you'll be hard-pressed to get them. I still have mine, a lot of my books, man. When he said some jewels, this is truly a jewel, man. It goes through everything. You like quantum physics. It has quantum physics. Brother LJ talk about science. It has this thing with the science. Talk about things that's in the planet, off the planet. Hell, you name it. And I know y'all going to trip out. It has things talk about beings that live inside the earth, on top of the earth. Yes, I said it. I said inside the earth. I know y'all don't heard that shit before.
Let's
it ain't
talk about it.
None. The Sumerians, y'all know about the Sumerians, talk about it. Y'all just look up, what was it? I know I can't hardly get the words a lot of time. I know it was Shambhala. Y'all heard of Shambhala? Y'all can just Google search a lot of shit.
White
folk can talk about this shit, but then black folk got all day, y'all go with that bullshit. And we ain't getting...
Ain't.
Folks, but we know
BS.
Shit, man.
Man, look, I'm trying to tell you, man, look, this stuff is real. But
yeah,
the more we would talk about it, it would just give more prudence to how old life and humanity is. Like, it's so old that, you know, you can't even put your mind around how old and how long humanity has been on the planet.
Man.
It's not no 6,000 years old or 12,000. It's way older than that. No. Humanity and human beings been running around. Not no daggone, what's that thing? What's the thing that you call it?
When you talk about the hype.
They evolved out of the monkey or something, whatever.
Yeah, that homo thing, you know.
Yeah, homo thing, right. Whatever. I can't remember the word right now. I can't get my words together tonight. So
many of them.
I'm a little tired.
It's more than one. It's a homo, this homo.
Yeah, homo erectus and all these things.
Genius.
People been on the planet way longer than all that. So, and if you talk about underground and people living underground, people lived underground because it was too dangerous to live above ground. And this was eons ago. Now, you'll have the scientists tell you how long ago certain dinosaurs roamed the earth. And they'll give you a number like 375 million years ago. Well, at the same time those dinosaurs was here, human beings was still here too. But they had to fend for their lives because of these beasts roaming the earth that could eat you just like it was an hors d'oeuvre. Like, you would be nothing to be eaten by a big creature who was a carnivore. So 375 million years ago on down, people was digging into the ground to where a big dinosaur couldn't get into the ground. So they were digging down into the ground a real long time ago. And they were making caves into the ground at different levels of the ground. So it can go very deep, go midway, it can go from almost just being on top of the land to midway down into it, so all the way down into it, and then it goes into the cave for hundreds of miles. Hundreds and hundreds of miles that they dug these things where they would just live down in the ground. Would never even come up. They just live in the ground. People would live underground. It was too dangerous to live on the top of the land. Just imagine, you know, they lived there. A lot of people lived their whole life under the ground. I'm talking talking millions and millions of years ago. Now, to talk about this, you would be giving more prudence to life on the planet the more you talk about things underground, because there's been discovered in Europe a 1,000-mile tunnel system underground that leads from Europe all the way across Europe, 1,000 miles long, a tunnel. And it's made so well, it's an ingenious way they made it, however it was made. So how could this be done? It's like they used so much of their brain capacity back then to do something, to make something where you can travel underground and have places in the tunnel where if something did get in the tunnel, like a wild animal or something, they had places where they could block the animal from going any further. So like a door, but that was made of stone, that they would roll it in front of the place where the animal could come through that door, that doorway. So it's like a long tunnel, but they had different places where they would have, where they can close it off in case something happened where it was an invasion of predators. So I don't know, man. We could talk about that because it's pretty intriguing, because when you go and look and they find all of these types of pyramids that are in different places around the world that are underwater, and they find the evidence that the pyramid was there for a very long time because nobody had discovered it until recently. And so that means that for it to be found underwater several hundred feet down or, you know, under the water, that at some point that part of the land was above water, and somehow the change in the planet's way of doing its thing, it sunk that portion of the land where the pyramids were. All around the world, you'll find these things where these pyramids were once on top of the land, or on top of, you know, at least on Earth instead of being under the water, where they're so big and done just seemingly very similar to the pyramid that they found in Mexico and in Kemet, and, you know, the ones in, you know, different places, just like Kemet and Ethiopia, similar ones like that. So, yeah, man, I think that the planet is much older than we give it credit for, and I think humanity is way older than we give credit to humanity. And there's this one channel I watch, it's the Mystery History Channel, and they offer a lot of evidence of man being around a lot longer than the academic people want us to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. There's a lot. There's a lot that my brother LJ and I, I was trying to find the video on it, but I guess I erased the history on it. And,
so hey, man, where's the boy? Where's my man Kabina at, man? Why don't you drag him in here?
He texted me. He listening in. He listening
yeah,
in.
Yeah, well, they always want to just listen in. They don't want to come in. I don't know what's wrong.
Wow,
they come
good.
On in. LJ, he ain't been in a long time. It's time for him to come in.
He's sitting back listening. He's sitting back chilling. So it's all good. But I actually, what I'm touching on, because I'm looking at my tablet. I'm still looking at the holy tablet. And it was something that, and some people like to say, man, that's pseudo. That's some bug crap. You know. And I'm really bringing out some. And I think the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, my brother LJ was saying how the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said how the moon was created. You know, you probably heard the story how they say that the moon was a part of Earth and something hit it, something, asteroid, some say it was a craft, another craft that came from Nibiru. I decided y'all have, I know y'all heard of Nibiru before, that hit it. And what he called a sham that hit it and broke off. Now, it's funny that I was just searching for someone there on the internet, on YouTube, and it was a news agency that actually came out, one of these big-name news agencies, came out, and the scientist actually was saying this stuff. And I'm actually looking at how they said how the moon was actually a part of the Earth, and the asteroid hit it, and it broke off. And that's why you see what they call right behind, what was it? I forget y'all how the solar system made, but they check all that junk debris. They tell you it's junk debris that's sitting out there when you look at the solar system. And but they saying that's part of some of the part that broke off from the Earth and it just came out there, and they call it junk debris, but it's part of it. And they say it's like asteroid. And but see, a lot of this stuff was told, but they'll say, you know, there were people like, ah, oh, that's bullshit. But now here's the scientist. Here's the scientist. Like when a lot of our some master teachers get to saying stuff, and at the time, you know, people want to dismiss it, but then the scientists will come right along, National Geographic and the History Channel, and them will come right on out here and start saying this shit after our master teachers them already told us this, and everybody dismissed them as pseudo and some other shit they'll say. And here it goes. Like, again, you don't believe it unless the white man said it, and they've been saying it. They said the shit. So I was like, damn.
In 1930, Master Farah Muhammad came and taught the Honorable Elijah Muhammad about the moon and how it used to be part of the planet, and that some wise scientists at the time decided to blast a portion of the Earth out into the atmosphere in order to make a satellite for the Earth. And this was done with detonation, so with dynamite and whatnot, stuff like, you know, things that would make it blow up and blast out. And the portion of the land that had water on it that was detonated off of the planet Earth into the atmosphere, the water of it stayed on this part of the planet, and it went up out into the outer atmosphere, and all of it, he lost all of its water on the, you know, on the explosion out, and the water stayed here, which gave the Earth more water than land at that point. And it changed up a lot of things, and that's where we were talking about those pyramids that once were in place and on top of the planet, that at that particular point, had there been any pyramids, which would have been approximately 66 trillion years ago, according to the teachings, that the blast happened from the moon, from the Earth to the outer atmosphere. Now, when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad would be out and speaking about the teachings of Farah Muhammad to him, whom he gives praise, he said that these different things would happen or had happened, and that he gave them different information about the moon and how it was, you know, in accordance to a certain law. And so what these scientists have done is that, being though what was casted in 1930 to 1934, coming from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that he was taught by Farad, and said so many different things, that was so far it was so far ahead of where the white man was at the time, that he had to go and research to see whether these things were possible, what he was laying out about the moon had been once part of the Earth, whether how this would, could this be possible, you know, that he's saying these things, because no one had even thunk nothing like this before. And so what they're doing and have determined is that what he had lined up and said back in 1930s, things are more so aligned with being true than not. Now, what the scientists are doing is drawing a line and saying something a little different, and in the way in which how a Nibiru would come and crash and hit the planet Earth and cause this explosion in this part of the planet to be blasted away from the Earth into the outer atmosphere. That right there is what they don't want to give the whole honor to, is when he said that scientists of the time, that means a human being, that means people, 66 trillion years ago here on the Earth, came together and in their minds determine what it would take to do a task so great. Now, they had done other tasks greater than that by even making stars. You know,
Hold one second, brother. Finally, we're going overtime. You got one more minute to call in. We're going into overtime. We are going into overtime. The number is 563-39-3552. That's 563-39-3552. We are going over a little bit. We are going over. You got less than a minute to call in. My bad. Yeah. I found that story. I read a little bit of it right here in the message to the black man. I did find that story about he was talking about the moon. And that was Shabazz. I do have some of that. Yeah.
All right, so,
go ahead, bro. What you were saying about the sun?
Leave okay, it. So yes, even 66 trillion years ago, when this happened, this explosion, this blasting, this dynamite. This thing, it did a huge. Oh, come on, man. This was something that was unthinkable, because you're going to change everything when you do this about the planet. You don't even know if you're going to survive, if the planet's going to survive after you do something like this. This is a huge thing. So I was just saying, prior to doing something like that, that the scientists of different times and the different knowledgeable ones that worked together formulated different things, and it took a long time to make different things. And the planet's been in existence for trillions and trillions of years. So to make a star, one star up in the sky, this is something that is done by a creation and an understanding of how to make the star. And to do it, and it takes quite a long time just to make one star. If you're talking about the planet being as old as it is and how many stars there are, then that would give you an understanding of how old that the planet really is. Or even, at least our galaxy or our solar system that we exist in. So it took 6,000 years to make one star. Now, we're working on one star at a time. And, to make the moon, to make it happen. These things, they took time. So from making the moon blast out into the atmosphere, stars and everything were being made up to 90 trillion years ago and even beyond that. People were just making stars and stuff. This is something to do. Make a bunch of stars and find it's essential. We like these. So it's fun to do. And nothing else going on. We're making a bunch of stars. Those are the housing of the spirits after you make the beings, and then they can rest, and the spirits rest in the stars. So it's not really not for a purpose, but you have to be special to make it to the stars.
Well, you do know in this particular story what Elijah Muhammad was saying, right? That Shabazz, what it is, he wasn't just trying to wasn't really trying to create a star or make a moon. He was trying to kill, now according to this, I'll read a little bit. He was trying to kill us off this planet.
Get everybody to speak one language.
There you go. So it wasn't that he was intentionally trying to create the moon. He was trying to kill our ass. Now, according to the story, y'all, that's according to the teacher,
Honorable
Elijah Muhammad, and whoever he got it from. Now, they said Farad. Just be respectful. What a teaching. I just read a little bit from it. This is called, it's on page 31 of The Message of the Black Man. Mine is page 31. Might be some reprint, be a couple of different pages off sometime. It's under the chapter called The Original Man, Know Thyself. It's on page 31. It says, I'm just going to start here. Okay, I just say, it says, he declared that he was that we are the descendants of the Asiatic or the Asian Black Nation and of the tribe of Shabazz. You might ask, who was this tribe of Shabazz? Some say Shabazz, some say Shabazz. Originally, they were the tribe that came with the planet or this part 6 trillion years ago when a great explosion on our planet divided it into two parts. One we call the Earth and the other the Moon. This was done by one of the scientists, God, who wanted the people to speak one language, one dialect for all, but was unable to bring this about. He decided to kill us by destroying our planet, but he still he failed. We were lucky to be on this part of Earth. But we did not lose its waters in the mighty blasting away of the part called moon. We the tribe of Shabazz or Shabazz say Allah was the first to discover the best part of the earth of our planet to live on. Okay, here you go. Now, this ain't real, but I'm just saying from up Nile Valley. It says the rich. No, let me go back. It says we the tribe of Shabazz, says Allah, were the first to discover the best part of our planet to live on, the rich Nile Valley of Egypt, and the presence of the seat of the holy city, Mecca, Arabia. The origins of our kinky, that's me, I got some of that kinky, y'all, that kinky. Nappy.
Me too.
Yeah, riches. So so we are from the tribe of Shabazz. Yeah. We got that nappy hair.
Right.
Well, I'm surprised. I'm a Shabazz in y'all. I'm making word of Shabazz.
I got nappy eyebrows.
Uh-oh. So Farrakhan said they're supposed to be straight, but I ain't going to say that. I ain't going to disagree with
you. I'm just messing with you.
You need a rigid kinky.
No, Malcolm X said something about that. He said, you got some nappy eyebrows. You know you got something there.
I think somebody did it. Yep. Came from one of our dissatisfied scientists. Okay. The original, now this is what it's saying. The origins of our kinky hair, says Allah, came from one of our dissatisfied scientists 5,000 years ago who wanted to make all of us tough and hard in order to endure the life of the jungle of East Asia.
50,000 years ago, somewhere, 50,000.
Yep, 50,000. And 50,000. To endure the life of the jungle of East Asia, Africa, to overcome the beast there, but he failed to get the others to agree with him. We're going back to that part. That's what he was saying about the moon and talk about Shabazz 66 trillion years ago. There was a great explosion.
And you know there was one tribe that was lost in the explosion on the planet. Compared to the four tribes that were maybe it was at that point 13 tribes. So that's where it got down to 12 at. It was 13 initially, okay? At least at that point in time.
Now, this is funny.
Tribes.
Yeah. Now, if I look at this, right, going back to something. Now, according to this story, it says that there about the moon. It says this God wanted the people to speak one language, one dialect for all, but was unable to bring this about. So he decided to kill them by destroying our planet. Now they're just according here. But when you go into the Tanakh or the Torah, the Torah in the book of Bereshit, which you call Genesis. And remember famous story about the Tower of Babel, as they say Babel, right? And Babel means confusion. It said, talked about how that particular, and I'm just using the term God, right? How they were speaking one language. And that's how they came up to build the Tower of Babel and all that. They spoke one language. So he came down and scattered them. Now, here you go. Let's go to the book of Bereshit, as they say, Genesis chapter 11, and we start at verse 6 here. It says, and the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begun to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them. They were whatever they imagined to do, they would do. It says, let us go down there and confound their language, that they may not understand one another. Now, according to the Tanakh, they were speaking one language. They were speaking. Now, this is just according to the signs of the Tanakh. So they were speaking one language. And it says, whatever they imagined in their mind to do, we can do it. So let's confound their language. So they can't, be able to speak this one language. And now they can't do, build this tower. They can't get along with you. It's just like in slavery. They talk about the transatlantic slave trade, right? How they took the different brothers and sisters from different tribes. So this one's from here and this one from here. So they really couldn't speak the same. They couldn't speak the same dialect. So it was hard for them, as they say, somewhat to cause an uprising. Because here they said they all couldn't speak the same language, but they found the way to do it some anyway. But, you know, that's how I say. But now that just, I was just thought about that when I was just reading it. Now, according back to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad again, on that portray. And like I said, it's just, we don't know, y'all. It's just stories that somebody was told. It says, the God wanted the people to speak one language, one dialect for all, but was unable to bring this about. So he decided to kill the people. Now, this story in the Bible, that they were speaking one language. He's like, oh, instead of like, and according to the original man here in the Message of the Black Man, he wanted to kill them. Because they wouldn't speak the same language. But the Bible said, hey, let's go down there and confound their language. Let's give them Spanish. Let's give them English. Let's give them Japanese. Let's give them, hell, you know, y'all name some more. Hebrew. Let's give them this language.
But when you say let's give it, that's not speaking in a one way of saying a person or a being is saying, I'm going to do this. This is, you're talking about several people when you're saying, we going to do this. So to me, that's the enemy of God's people who would come in and confuse the land by bringing in different religions, foreign invasions, bringing in foreign languages, and then propagating lies and then causing confusion in the land by not embracing the reality of what it is. And then making everybody comply to something that's not true. So to me, that would have been the enemies that pose as the gods. Like all throughout the Bible, I would see where the enemy is posing like he God. When he says, I'm the host, and you got to bow down to me, and you will have no idols before God, or all these things. This is some invader. This is some foreign invader coming in and now taking the throne and claiming everything and saying, now you got to bow down to me and you got to do what I say. Otherwise, I'll cut your head off, or I'll do this to you, or I'll do that to you. So they're not ruling with righteousness. They're ruling with authority and ruling in wickedness and not in truth. And so that's what I see every time I read something that doesn't add up to what the Creator would really be doing. It's the enemy of the Creator that is posing as the Creator and doing these things. What do you think about that, Sunray?
Now, my thing was, how would, from the scriptural point, how do you know this is that, in that particular context, that is a, like you say, a enemy that speaks?
Yeah, because you would be able to identify the falsehood in it. You can see through the falsehood when you hear it or read it. And so if I'm reading it and I see this guy, let's say particularly, let's take David, for instance, right? And he slayed so many people. And his brother slayed more than he did, and he was jealous of his brother that he didn't slay more than his brother did. Now, all of that right there is the foreigners claiming the authority position. You see what I'm saying? It's always like when the invaders come, now they'll say, I'm the host. So in the Bible, where you see it's written where they're the host, or they're talking about where you're looking at it, God is the one who's in position here. But when they're saying the host of men, the host of this is somebody posing as God or acting as a God, but he's not really the true one. The real gods practice the righteousness, you know, I mean, under the laws of Ma'at in the right way. So the ones that came and invaded did the opposite. And when they weren't given the permission, they would just take it. When they weren't, like, they would say, well, can I be the king? Well, no, you can't be the king. You're not from here. You don't know our ways. You don't know. Well, okay. And then he'd cut off his head. Can I be the king now? Oh, man, why'd you do that? Because you say I can't be the king. Well, let me cut this head off too. Wham! Oh my God, that's my sister. What's wrong with you, man? You can't do that. Oh my goodness! Now we trying to cater to these people on the ground. You cut their heads off, and you cutting another head off. Boom! Now can I be the king? And you still cutting people's heads off. Ain't nobody around here with swords like you bring in here. And now you telling me if I can't be the king, then I'm gonna cut some more people's heads off. So him and the rest of the invaders with their swords, and they come in and they take over everything, and now they write the story in their favor and take the throne, and now that's where you get the submission, the part where black people were be the servants or the slaves of these people, and always on the low end of the stick under these people who come in and invade. Because what they do is they kill off the men and they take the women and rape them or marry them, and then they make an offspring, and then those offsprings that they make, they hate on the darker offsprings that they come from, and they will fight on the father's side instead of their mother's black side. You know, so they're always doing this to our people. Every time that they would come and invade, they would kill off the men, all of them, and then send the ones packing, and then keep the women, and then mate with them. And then now they lighten up the race more and more. They rate, you know, they lightening it up. Every time they invade, they lighten up everything. So that's where you get these lighter people coming in and living there for even hundreds or thousands of years at some points, or hundreds to thousands of years, because they done came in and mixed with the people after they then invaded and took over the place. There's been so many invasions that happened that way. It's pathetic.
You went into an area. Now you don't went into an area. Uh-huh. You don't threw an alley. You went into an area. Right. I'm glad you went into. Now, don't you know kind of like what you're somewhat saying? I wanted to bring this up here too. I'm glad you went back to that. Now, what you're saying is like the enemy is, I'm just going to say the enemy, the invader and everything is the one who seemed to be, like when we read about stories, somebody killing off somebody or invading or enslaving a nation of people, it was always so-called our enemy, not the so-called black man or the melanated man who always did. It was always our enemy. The black man in history ain't never did nothing. He never enslaved anybody. He never harmed anybody. He never robbed and pillaged another village. He ain't never done none of that. Now, we was always the righteous. We was always the... Glad you mentioned that. It just so happened that old brother Sonnetta been having that dialogue on his particular podcast, on this particular broadcast. He had a brother Chief X. I don't know if you know brother Chief X. He had brother Chief X on there. And he got our brother Zion Lex. Shalom to my brother Zion X. Shabbat Shalom. And brother Zion Lex, for a matter of fact, has a whole lecture he just done talking about going into about slavery in Egypt and showing that there were slavery in Egypt. I'm trying to find this. I can give y'all the exact title that he had, that he did this video on. Did an excellent breakdown on it. About this. And showing
the slavery is, I know it was, but it was when the Greeks came in and enslaved them, and it was when the Romans came in and enslaved them. When the blacks.
And see,
well, this is written in stone on the walls. They show you the Exus on the walls coming in the vein.
White. But see, that's what we're saying again. See, that's the point that these brothers are making, like Chief X and even with my brother Zion Lex. See, like we said, in the community, as they say in the I'm gonna say the conscious community and all of this stuff. See, they like to romanticize and not be genuine. Y'all remember I went on a rant some months back about this stuff, how people in this give us stuff, they are not genuine. They do not be genuine when they tell this stuff. Like I said, we act like us going against each other is a new phenomenon now. Like when we talk about this black on black crime in America, we act like this is a new phenomenon right now. This shit just happened because of slavery, that the transatlantic slave trade that made us hate each other, and we were not banging on each other. We didn't do no shit against each other. But goddamn it, if I'm not mistaken, Shaka Zulu, would everybody seen the love that goddamn movie, Shaka Zulu? You know, and Shaka Zulu, was Shaka Zulu before the transatlantic slave trade? I don't know the timeline on that. I don't know the timeline. But he was invading other fucking nations and saying he was the first one. He, you know what? He had the slogan before Jay-Z and Dame Dash. Y'all know that slogan, either get down or lay down? Uh-huh. They got that from Shaka Zulu. Y'all remember the movie Shaka Zulu, didn't it, when he was going into these other nations and made them get down and lay down? Y'all going to join the Zulu nation. Damn. That was black nations. He was originator of y'all going to get down and lay down. I know y'all remember that one. I know y'all remember
Come
that
on,
one.
Sorry. Come on with I'm all that.
It exactly. You don't want to hear the truth. You know, I know it. I know y'all don't want to hear this shit because it is. Again, now y'all always say in Kemet, the shit is written in stone. Oh, it's written in stone, brother. It's fact. It ain't written on no parchment papers. It's written in concrete. Right out concrete. But then now somebody go and show y'all the fucking concrete that y'all talk about. I'm not trying to disrespect Kemet. I'm just kind of fucking with the country community a little bit.
Now y'all don't understand.
See, y'all don't understand the science. See, now when the brother go and show y'all the concrete or the stone, y'all don't understand the science. No, Negro, they don't understand. They call on your narrative and you to play around with the information. But anyway, you go and watch Sarnetta them, and they showed. And look at the Nubians. They showed about the Nubians. They showed about the Kushites and how they show other dog skin, especially like Namor. When Namor so-called black, do y'all remember the Namor palette? My brother Zion Zay did an excellent just thing on this a few minutes ago. And you said this happened with the Greeks, brother. Namor was
okay,
not-
all right. I'm going to admit it. All right, let me admit it.
All right.
You got me on that one. You got me.
Nah, I knew it. He was cutting off heads. Who he was cutting off? Nubians, wasn't or Nubians or Kushites or whatnot. See, that's what I'm saying. They were enslaving each other. The goddamn Egyptians and all of them, they were. See, that's what the point
was
saying.
You're right. I mean, because the Nubians was the first one. They were the first ones that held it down for the longest. And then the invaders came in.
Again, I just had to throw that out because when you went to that store and say that enemies, you know,
I mean, rewrite it.
Nah, brother, we did some bullshit in history too.
Like, I agree with you, but we didn't have to start there where we messed up.
No, but we got to tell the goddamn truth. We got to keep this bullshit. Like I said again, and that's why I like today, in time today, we act like we just not fucking up. Excuse me, elders. We act like we just not messing up and we just not can't get along with each other. And primarily, if we look back in history, we love to look back in history. Maybe we look back in history and say, hey, man, what were they went wrong and how come they weren't getting along with each other? Well, probably some of that shit, maybe we can look back and say, maybe they might help us fix our problem in place. Decided, well, we ain't getting along with each other. And maybe some of this shit is tribalism, why we ain't getting along with each other. So we like to play like we all cool because we dog skin. We all got dog skin. That's some dog skin motherfucking Hindus. Do we get along with them? They don't fuck with us. There's some dog skin. A lot of motherfuckers that's dog skin. A white boy can go sit in the goddamn tanning salon and get a motherfucking tan and come out and look like me. That shit, do I supposed to kick it with him too? Get a nigga RBG flag and say, hey, it's black power. No. See? So if we could fuck all that dog skin shit, that don't mean nothing. Motherfucker Michael Jackson bleached his skin, but he couldn't holler white power. He bleached his skin white, but the Klan wasn't going to let him into the goddamn Klan rally. They still knew he was a, as they would say, y'all, I ain't saying it. They say he's a nigga. Uh-huh. They still treated him like a nigga, too. Fuck all this skin. See, there's sometimes, like they say, what they say, nature knows, what is it? Nature knows no color line or something like that. The book, y'all know y'all what the book I'm talking about. But anyway, see, that's one thing I do like about the Torah, the Bible, whether y'all say it's fake or not. One thing about it, it's going to tell you the good, the bad, the ugly. If it said it was black folks, it's going to tell you how they messed up and how the good times they did. And a lot of it show you that they was messing up like a mother sucker. It don't try to romanticize shit. It don't do that. It even can damn it tell you the Hebrews in there that they said they can have servants, or some people use the word term slave.
Mm-hmm.
It is in there. But no, you can't talk about fucking Kim and you can't have no goddamn slave. No, we weren't no goddamn slave. But the history
all
tells
us. So I'm going to tell you what it was, though. It wasn't what you call it. It wasn't slavery. It was not slavery.
What was it?
It was servitude, period. Now, we would never hold nobody in no slave for no more than 7 years at the max.
Whoa.
Now, y'all serious?
Since you cleaning it up for us, what's the difference between, okay, in the transatlantic slave trade, right? Now, you know, we talk about having a yoke of iron around your neck. They had chains around their neck, around, and they was hand, you know, whatnot, shackled and chained and stuff like that. So is that voluntary servitude, or what is that? Because I do remember in Kemet, nature knows, hold up, let me see, the black man, be the mind, said just not no damn color. Yes, sir. He said blacks need to, hold up, yeah, I got to slow it down, Sunray. Blacks need to be a mindset, not just a damn color. That's what my brother LJ said. PT, appreciate that. I had to slow myself down, y'all, so I can read. What you're saying, bro. Okay. Now, we see the pictures, right, with the transatlantic slave trade. We see how people had iron around their neck. They had chains around their neck. They were shackled and chained and all of that stuff. So we know what that was. That was chattel slavery. Right. So, brother, you
yes.
say in Kemet, that was just, hold up. I want you to say that real. What was that?
Servitude.
So it wasn't no forced slavery.
No, it was. Well, I mean, what it was it was a penalty for a certain crime committed, whether it was invading altogether or whether you really did. It was more to do with the invaders and the people who wasn't obeying the laws of the land or not complying to the laws, because the laws was very important. And if you come in there doing something crazy, they're going to kick you out, and or they're going to lock you up.
So the Nubians invaded. So the Nubians that we see on that concrete, on that slab, on that brick, on the stones, we see the dark-skinned brothers and sisters in chains. They got chains around. I guess there were chains, a rope or whatever. Around
that was done by some brown-skinned brothers.
Bound.
Brown-skinned ones did it to the black-skinned ones. Now, I ain't want to go that far back, but if we got to start there, I will. That when the black people, which was the Nubians who came from Ethiopia previously and Kush, who built pyramids and all that way before they even got to Egypt, and built anything. And so they took their knowledge with them and went on up there and did their thing. Now, they laid it down. The further you go back and dig, you'll find Nubians buried way, way back. And so at any rate, the Nubians was the black people. They was invaded by the brown people. Now, you want to call them the brand Nubians or something else? But they the one, it was the brown-skinned black people, which was the offspring of those dark-skinned black people who wanted to take their stuff.
Hold up, brother. Hold up. Hold up, Justin. You just messed me up with something. Hold on.
Okay.
God damn. I'm going to let it slow. You know, I'm going to let it slow. I failed kindergarten. So,
no, you
hold
did.
Up.
No, you did.
You know, I got to be a little sarcastic. So, hold up.
You're crazy.
Okay, I know you said it was the brown enslaving the black. I mean, the black one. So then you said the blacks, hold up, the brown-skinned black folk. I think that's what you just said now. You can correct
yes,
me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Enslaved the black-skinned black folk.
well, not enslaved, but fought with them and won, and then had to do what they had to do as far as to just to, so they wouldn't have to do it their way. They could do it the way they wanted to do things. So these brown skin ones was more in agreement with each other, although one or two brown skin ones was more, had a more of a black mindset and wasn't, you know, wasn't for that and would even fight with the Nubians against those brown skin ones.
So wait
you
a minute.
What I'm saying?
No, because right now I'm saying I forget I failed kindergarten because I'm really trying to because I'm throwing it off.
I'm making it too difficult. Go ahead.
No, you good, you good. I'm just, you know, I'm throwing it off because I'm looking at modern technology. I'm looking at modern time. I'm even looking at my damn self. I'm brown, right? I'm kind of copper tone. I guess I'm brown skin. I'm a brown skin
mm-hmm.
black.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody darker than me.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't black either then. I mean, I ain't the same black as them. So
I guess,
are we different blacks?
Well, it depends on your mind. Now, some people, like I said, the brown ones that fought with those dark-skinned black Nubians against those invaders who was brown-skinned, who, you know, they somehow didn't share the same thinking. And so the ones that was the darker ones who had been there for the longest, who had built everything before anybody got there. And so by the time they had to fight with the brown ones and they was about wore out because they've been there so damn long, and here comes some fresh little young bucks coming, and these are really our children, our offsprings and grandkids coming in here with their thing, want to do it a little different than what we did because they dissatisfied with how there's too many laws. So they wanted to shorten the laws up and stuff. And so they came in there and put these people in bondage because the only way that they're going to be able to do it their way is going to have to put them in chains and make them suffer and now live by their law. And so they put them in chains and made them servants to them for a certain period of time, and then they let them go. Now, I've seen where other invaders who happen to be even lighter than those brown ones but happen to be yellow who came at those ones who was brown now, who had held it down for a while and beat the black ones out. And now here they got some invaders coming, and they way worse than they are. And when they came, they came vicious, and when they came, they kicked you out your whole land and enslaved you and starved everybody to the bone, to where you saw those images of Ethiopians back in the 80s where their stomachs was puffed out and stuff. You see their ribs. Those yellow ones came in there and did that to the brown ones and starved them out and dried up their lands and dammed up the water systems and made it impossible for the food to grow anymore, and then took the land and took the jewels and stole everything and claimed everything and kicked the people completely out of Kemet altogether 1,400 and something years ago when those Arabs came in there and did what they did. We ain't been back in there since 1,450 years ago when that happened to us. They kicked us completely out of our own land. That's why you don't see no black people, a whole bunch, living in Egypt right now. But we all know they used to. But the last time we did at one point all together, it was 1,450 years ago. And it was Muhammad and them that kicked them out of there, Prophet Muhammad and his peoples, them Arabs, with their fake Islam coming in there with their propaganda and their confusion and their bullcrap and taking over and claiming that we worshiping false idols and all this stuff. But at this point, these the brown people getting their behinds kicked because of karma coming back on them because of what they did to their fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers and stuff. So now the brown ones getting their behinds kicked. Now the yellow ones is in there. Now, they holding it down for quite a while. But now they got a vicious one coming even worse than they are that's going to come and invade them. And when they come, they coming with even bigger weapons, and they got a vicious mindset that's even worse than theirs. And then they come in there and enslave them and put them in bondage and kick them out their land and take it over and mix with them. Actually, they didn't kick them out. They actually just let them stay and mix with them and watered it down even more with the Greeks coming in to do this to the yellow Arabs. And now the yellow Arabs got their behinds kicked. Here come the Greeks. They coming even worse. They worse. And then they do all the same stuff and even worse that the blacks got done to them and browns got done to them and the yellow ones got done to them. These black and Greek and all these Western people all mixed together. It's really like a yellow race of people over there at this point. And they all getting their behinds kicked to these white people coming out the Caucasus, coming down with their bull crap. And so now it's just this chain thing. So they hold it down for a while. And then there's one last run where I think the blacks got it back, just one last skin for about 100 years. And then they lost it one last time again to some completely white people, which would have been the Romans. Romans came in and did the same damn thing. So now you got just a yellow race of people over there. It's not black at all anymore. All the black people is gone. Been gone.
So the thing, okay, so your thing was, could it have been that they were not the same people because they were from different territories, different,
yep,
you know, nations? Or,
yep,
or it's like you said, it was because, so everybody in Egypt at that particular time were light-skinned. And everybody
at a certain point, it got that way.
And now they were jet black. Just so happened they all jet black dog skinned. So it wasn't because they were different from different territories. Like, you know, like some guys might say, man, like here in this city of Memphis, like we got some guys we call North Memphis, South Memphis, East Memphis. Like, dude, like, hey, man, I don't, like, dude from North Memphis, I don't fuck around down south, man. I don't fuck with the south side. I'm a North Memphis dude. They'll say I'm an N-word. I don't fuck around in the south, man. The South Memphis dudes, some suckers. I don't fuck around. Could have been just that, just from different territories. Now, I'm looking at here, got my my book here, one of my books here, the She Told the Tear, the Egyptian Mystery. I wish I could show y'all this. I can show y'all on the camera on here, the thing. I can't screen share it though, really. But it's something like, who and what were the ancient Kemetians and the Nubians? And it do show you the, like the, like the slide that kind of show you the difference. This is the ancient Egyptians and the Nubians depicted in the tomb of Ramses the third. Now, I think that's where it's supposed to be showing the picture of them. You can see the clothes and all that stuff, what they had on, and tell there was a difference in the clothing. So that was it. Maybe there's a difference just because the landmass. And here's something they brought out on Sarnetta's show, and I found the, actually a quote, as he's supposed to say it here, Brother LJ. You know, somebody had asked this question. This is a relationship. Well, first of all, it says the relationship between Nubia and Egypt. It says the Greek historian Diodorus writes in the time of Augustus, the first century. He says, they also say that the Egyptians are colonists sent out by the Ethiopians. You remember they said that on the show, Brother LJ? That's what somebody called in and said on the show. Now, this is supposed to be according to Diodorus. Or
I agree with that. That's part of what they did. They did do that.
Now, okay. Now, I'm glad this Egyptians were sent out as colonists, right, to find new land, find new territory by the Ethiopians. Why did later on, I guess it's later on, did the Egyptians turn on the Ethiopians and stuff like that? Why did they do it? Because here we go again. Let's take Christopher Columbus, right, who was commissioned and sent to find this so-called new world or new territory by Queen, what's her name? I hope I say it right.
Isabella, but I come to find out that's Isabella. Not what happened. But we could go with that since that's what we know. But that's
just,
not
yeah, that's just a story they told. But it's just a story they told. We'll run with that narrative.
Mm-hmm.
funded by them to find new territory and new land or just come out like a new colonist. Did he go back and turn on them, Spain? So why would it, again, if they were sent out by them to be colonists, why would they turn on them? And in turn, a.k.a. enslave them, if they were colonists and they was working on their behalf, why did they, you know, turn on them?
Well, to say that they turned on the Ethiopians would be a misnomer because they didn't turn on the Ethiopians.
Let me see this, the Greeks, the Nubians. But again, to this, see, now here we go. Now, this is according to, here we go, the Greek historian as well. See, because we talk about the Greeks did this, but this according to a Greek historian. So is it accurate now that the Greeks said it?
Oh, absolutely not.
How do we know? How do we know that?
Everything they say, based on what I just heard anyway, that, which it seems like you said that the Egyptians turned on the Ethiopians. So I'm saying that I don't see anywhere where that happened.
I take that back. I was misstate that. There was the Nubians, so I don't know if it's going to be
Nubians. Okay.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, because that we can get kind of confusion. Now, I might be getting confused on that because they make all this shit confusing. Because you said Nubian one minute, you said Ethiopian. So I'm not going to. I'm just going to stick with the Nubians. So I ain't going to say.
Okay, so yeah, well, I've never read in history where that happened at, but you know, maybe anything is possible. But it would be no real reason in my head for them to go way back down to Ethiopia after reaching Kemet. And I mean, coming from Ethiopia, you had already been there for a very long time. Now you coming from there trying to find new territory, so colonize new lands and whatnot. So to come out of Ethiopia to go up to where Kemet is a good trip, a good distance up to Nile, or say down to Nile, whatever it is, and reach Kemet. And there's nothing there. It's just a bunch of, it's a whole bunch of material that's like, it's just a whole bunch of material land here and there that you're going to bring from one distance to another. So they moved a lot of material from a great distance to bring it to another distance. But, you know, before the pyramids were there, there was just desert, or it was like a desert land, or just there were certain lands or certain parts of the land where vegetation would grow, and then other portions of it was more desert-like. So they utilized it the way that it was to be fit at the time that it was built and designed. And so to come from Ethiopia to go to Kemet and to start making pyramids there, that was an idea that came from Ethiopia. So there's no reason to take a trip back down to Ethiopia when you didn't come from there as an invader in the first place, and there's nothing there really to pillage or to steal in Ethiopia. Nothing really there to steal or pillage. So I just see, you know, in history, I've never read or seen any footage or anything where that could have happened, where the Nubians went back and messed up their own people or fought with their own people. And like I said, anything could happen. But it seems like a lot of the things was the migration from Kush to Kemet and then setting up Kemet over a period of 25,000 years. You might want to bring that down or take it up higher or lower as far as, you know, how you might understand the pyramids could have been there for up to a period of 100,000 years ago is when they first could have been started being built with, you know, these type of pyramids way back 100,000 years ago, not 6,000 or 10,000 years ago. There's evidence of pyramids under the water, been under the water for over 100,000 years. So it's easy to believe or to understand that people have been building pyramids on the planet for a very long time. So to go over there and come from Ethiopia, go to Kemet, see there's nothing there. This is a great place to set up everything. This fertile soil, fertile land, great vegetation. Everything was good at the time when they started doing that. It was no problem. So then the cataclysmic, what happened? It was like a freeze over or something happened where it was an ice age for a period of time. That happened about 10 or 12,000 years ago. It froze over the portions of the North Hemisphere. And, you know, I have never even studied to find out how long the freeze lasted. You know, I don't know if it was a year, 5 years, 10 years, 100 years. I don't know. 200, 1,000, like, so how long did the freeze last, if it was a freeze, right? That's a good question.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I got something I want to read right fast. Let me see how much time we have left. I can't see. Okay, we got a couple minutes, about less than 10 minutes. Going to this book again. I said the relationship between Nubia and Egypt. Check this out. I want to say, and Brother LJ, I sent you a picture. And I sent you this picture. This too, brother excerpt from this book right here, what it was talking about. I like this book. Great book. It said the situation between ancient Egypt and Nubia may be likened to the England and the United States. Far from being a racial issue. It is so happened that the child, Kemet, grew to such a structure and glory that it surpassed the parent. I guess it's talking about Nubia.
Right, yep.
Due to the certain cultural difference that developed between the countries, there was a variant over control of the trade in Africa, just as two siblings quarreling over clothes and jewelry. The two states of affairs between the two countries became evident when Kemet was besieged and occupied by foreign conquerors. The Nubians lent their support as allies, if not as family members, coming to the rescue of kin in trouble to rescue or restore Kemet to her former glory in the late period of the Kemetian history. Let me see. I'm just trying to see. Should I stop right there? I just read one other little piece right here. It says around 2000 BCE, the Nubian kingdom of Karma grew in power and admiration and became an economic competitor with Kemet. When Kemet experienced a period of social unhaven beginning around 1700 BCE, when the Hyksos, the Asiatic, most likely present-day Syrians, conquered Lower or North Egypt. Armies from upper or southern Kemet withdrew from Lower Nubia and Karma to take over the region. This goes start going into when Akmos and Kokmos said they ran out those invaders, I think, in that time. I think this is what.
I told you they got it back like one more time or a few more times. Like, I mean, a lot of times they was able to defeat any invaders, but then the invaders started coming back with the bigger weapons and stuff.
Mm-hmm. So, but it was just point when you look at the number palette again, I don't have it in front of me on this one here. But when you do see Namur, who was that he was cutting off the head of? All
right, so if it's an invader, then it doesn't matter what color. Like as far as an outside invader, then that's the penalty for invading is if that's what you're here for. If you get caught and they cut your head off, then that's it. So that's just part of the game. Yeah. Somebody invades your country, you got to be able to protect your country. If you can't protect your country, then it won't belong to you anymore.
That's true.
So that's the whole idea, you know, of the armies and having men that's there on the front line to fight and defend the rest of the people. And they had magnificent armies throughout time to protect invaders, because they knew invaders wanted this magnificent place to call their own. And once they did take it over, they would take places that they claim were heathen-oriented or places that were worshiping false idols, and then they would build their own religious epicet up it right there in the same spot where they claim this place is not a good spot or a bad place or some kind of false idol worshiping place, which is wrong. This never was a false idols, none of that stuff. This is something that came in from the invaders' mindset that they brought with them. That's why I say when you read stuff in the Bible, when they say something about worshiping false idols, they're talking about the images that our people in Kemet made in stone in reference to the people who put Ma'at in place. You see what I'm saying? And they would say, oh, this is bad. When they looked up there, that was intimidating to them. And it was done in, by design for it to be intimidating to any invader that come up in here. They say, you come up in here, you're going to have a problem because we got people here that are going to defend this right here. This is our stuff. This is our people. These are our images of our of grandmothers and grandfathers and, you know, people who put up righteous laws. We upheld these laws for so long that one of us decided to make an enemy for ourselves here on this planet. And the cause of that making an enemy for us has been all of these invasions. But prior to the invasions, we had a balance on the planet and lived in harmony on the planet with other nations of people. So,
but,
you know.
But also, the Bible just don't it speak about idolatry. It doesn't pertain to just Egypt. It's pertaining to a lot of other nations, because you had Canaan, because you know they had the god Baal. It did pertain to like nothing in Kemet. It was just any nation is there was just basically saying it didn't go back to, you know.
So what was Baal, Sunray?
You had like Baal. Let me see, who was the damn kingdom? It's been so damn long since I got into that. You had a lot of different kings. You had the Syrians. A lot of different people had different what they call idol gods or something they bowed down to. Other than respectful, because not, again, show me a statue of what they said Yah, actually, what we call Yah. Show me any kind of statue of that. You had other people had statues and things that they made out of a god. Because the thing about it is like they buy down to they got like a like even in Islam, it's like you're not supposed to have a god, you know, like wood and stone and buy down to it. Like even they had like one of the prophets, I think it was shit, y'all, I ain't studying so damn long. I'm forgetting all of this stuff, getting brain dead. Against them and tried to say, okay, you got a god of wood and stone. What can this okay, you make a god out of this, like a tree. You carve it out and say, this is my god. I said, what can that damn thing do to you? You praying to it. So what did God gonna do for you? Nothing. It can't move. It can't do nothing.
But
you gotta pick it up and move it around your own goddamn self. That was God. It'll move on his own. So it was like different things of that nature that it was like you got into. That was, you know, they were saying.
But that was never ever the intention or anything that these enemies came into the land and said that anything we was doing was something to worship in a false idol. It was all completely bogus and wrong for them to even suggest that that's what we doing with our stuff. That's our stuff. If I got something that's carved, it's an image, it's for a reason. It ain't because of something you said that it's a false idol or something. You can get the hell out of here. Okay? Let me tell you why I made it.
You get, see, that's what I'm saying. You can, but like I said, the thing, But it, like somebody, but you were saying that, that you know, I'm just speaking on what Israel said. I mean, it was the thing about Israel. Like I said, when you was there, they said it was about Kemet. I'm just saying it wasn't just like the Bible just banging on just Kemet by itself. No, it was not. It don't bang on just Kemet about whatever they was making as gods or not. So I just want to clear that part up. It don't. Child killing or stabbing. There you go. Another child that's killing
another
or stabbing.
Another one?
Yeah, just here
by
in Memphis.
Who? Another kid?
I don't know. It's just breaking news. It just happened here in Memphis.
Oh, man.
Just popped up on my phone. And a lot of damn stabbing going on.
Yeah.
But say, it just, you know, going it don't just bang on Egypt. Like a lot of comedic brothers, and I would say the comedic family want to always say the Bible always bang on Kemet. It don't. It talk about the Syrians, talk about the Canaanites, talk about Babylon, talk about a lot of the, and then you even think about it, so-called Abraham came up out of Mesopotamia, because you even think about it. That's why I said he didn't work, even according to the story, I'm just saying according to the story, he did not worship the gods of his father. It said his gods were, his father's supposed to worship so-called idols. And then, people got to understand, what is an idol? What is an idol? Learn what is an idol. So like even the Bible said, don't have any graven images. What is a graven image? You would think a graven image, damn, y'all can't have no pictures in your house. You got to take down a, you got to understand what is a graven image, a image, something that you worship, you're bowing down to. Now, if I can have, I got pictures in my house from the Per Imharu, you know, with the judgment scene on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Summer, what you doing dead in your house? You supposed to be, you say you Israel, you ain't supposed to have it in your house. That's a judgment scene.
Mm-hmm.
I don't bow down to the Netters or the Netterus on there. I don't bow down to them and pray to them, stand up every morning and pray to that. Now, that would be what we call the graven image. If I bow down and I pray to that, you can have pictures. See, some people go that far. They go that damn extreme that they don't even have pictures or anything in their house. So you ain't supposed to have graven images in your house and don't understand what a fucking graven image is. They don't understand what idol is. It's like they tell you American Idol. That show, American Idol. Some people look at these celebrities. They look at these. Notice when they go to scene, they seen Michael Jackson. They falling all out. They crying to this man. It was like that was they idol. They idolized them. That's what they looked at. They put they everything into them, like a god basically, or something of power. See,
that's extreme.
No,
come on.
See, again. You don't understand the terminology, what I'm even going by, saying an idol or a god. See, do you understand what they even talk about? They say American Idol.
Yes.
American Idol. Some of you idolize, some of you. See, that's what I'm saying. See, I'm saying we don't even understand.
But that's what I mean. They hypocritical about it. You could tell me don't do this, but you doing that. But you just told me don't do that.
But see, I'm saying, but you don't, do you overstand certain terminology when they saying this is an idol? That's why I said again, when I said what Michael Jackson, why they was crying to the man and falling all out, no disrespect, I know he's passed on now, but when you understand what an idol is, then you understand about that. You said, oh, that's a stream, but then again, you don't even, do you overstand what I truly mean about what is an idol?
I do, but I don't. I mean, the only reason I took issue is because I'm a Michael Jackson fan too. So I never looked at him as like somebody
that's
to
you.
Worship at all.
That may be you. That there's some
okay.
that do. See, I okay. see this thing. Like you can, when a person like myself, I make a statement. You can't get offended by just because I made a statement about something that you idolize. Like I said, if the shoe don't fit, don't try to put it on. And so that's what a lot of people do, because somebody's fake. That's why I say sometimes on this show, I'm not talking to everybody. Y'all know who I am.
I've never heard it that way before.
You know what
I've never heard it quite that way before, yeah.
That's why I try to say people, I'm not, so I might say something like the black community, talk about how we do things in the black community.
Uh-oh.
You know, I ain't talking to everybody in the black community. Yeah, y'all, people know who's not doing what. That's why I said, I know y'all ain't doing that on Culture Freedom. I know y'all know better. But it's just generally speaking. But there's some that do look at these certain people and idolize them. And so, like, even you had this thing where people were saying, they was, like, showing this thing about when Jay-Z had people, like, they said, throw your hands in there. Now, I don't know how true that all actually is. It's just like a form of worship when they having you doing these certain type of things at concert. Do you understand what is truly happening, the ritual that is happening? So, this show is ended. Everything don't stop recording. So I got to go ahead and end it because it actually have stopped on its own. I went over.
Okay.
You go ahead and close this out. I can't even do nothing on the switchboard. So everything have closed out on its own. Oh, shoot.
All right, Sunray 9, man. Just get at me and have a good weekend, man.
All right, you too, brother. And don't bow down to nothing. I'm just playing with you, brother. Don't idolize that woman.
No,
woman.
I don't buy into it. I don't buy
now,
into
might,
it because I never...
I know you're going to bow down to that woman when you get that engagement ring. Now, that ain't going to be idol worship. You can bow down.
Well, I don't know how many years away that's going to be, but I ain't seen her yet. But
she
I did see her walking down the street, but I got to give her that ring. But anyway, that's enough.
Yeah, I'm
going to
hook you up with Queen Elizabeth. Hook you up with Queen Elizabeth. She need a husband right now.
Oh, man.
You be
I ain't going to be the rebound, man. I can't be the rebound. Can't do that one.
Oh, God.
Plus, I got to stay with my own kind. I ain't messing around like that. I ain't what you call it, swirling.
You be
with the swirl.
King Justice. King Justice. You can hook me and Dave up with a job in the palace or something.
Oh, no, bro. I ain't even going out like that. No, you know how much trouble that Megan Ryan got, whatever name Megan, how much trouble she got messing around. I'm too brown for that. They really give me a hard time.
You too brown. Yeah.
I tell you what though, if it's all said and done, I help the queen get her groove back. But
oh,
I'm gonna leave that for another show. I'm just messing. I'm just messing around.
Yes, sir. All right, brother. You have a good one, brother.
Okay, man. Peace and love.
All right, peace and love. All
good
right,
night.
Peace, family. We see y'all, man. Thanks for tuning in right here to Coach Frida Radio with Brother Thunder Ray 9 and Brother Justice in the house doing our thug fizzle in here, dropping the stuff.
Left wing.
Yeah, left wing. All right, peace, man. We out.
Peace.
Yeah. Okay, well, yeah.